listen, laugh, and learn. Welcome to the Don Miller Show.
That's why I'm going to head over and take my ass over to the Basic Cigars. Where I probably can't. I can't even get a discount on a Basic Cigar. Jay, you ever got a discount on a Basic Cigar? Hell no.
Nah.
You don't even hook nobody up.
Discount and free, the same thing.
I bet all them damn Venezuelans are smoking and drinking them on... Good.
Nah, they pay double.
Thank you so much, everybody. It's that time of day. It's the Don Miller Show, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Florida Man Radio, up and down the state of Florida. Oh, you can hit me in Ocala. You can hit me on I-75. You can hit me on I-10 by 10. I-4. You can hit me all the way down there to beautiful Lakeland, Florida. Up there directly before you get to beautiful Daytona, Florida, over there in Cocoa Beach. Hey, y'all. Watching the space shuttle go off. If it go off, if it go off, if it don't go off, you're going to stand and look up in the air, pay a bunch of money to bring your ass to Florida to see a cancellation of another high-ass flying rocket in America. Where you going? I'm going to beautiful, beautiful. The Don Miller Show. Good morning.
Hey, man, you're long-winded. Let's do the show.
Thank you so much. Wow. Hey, we got this Gonzo Thursday in this bitch.
Yes, sir.
And we got that dude. You can find him on any platform with a badass attitude and a love for his country. Real Rap King.
Good morning.
Holly Hollywood.
Yes, sir.
Let's do a show today. Steady, what up, baby boy?
What up?
I got some music I'm going to play today. I want everybody to know. Jay was supposed to be the DJ, of course. He was out there with the monkey shoulders and them cigars, so we're going to give him one more chance to be the DJ on the Don Miller Show.
This better be good music because you've been talking about it all morning.
Jay was supposed to be DJ Jake. DJ Jake, you was rocking last night, though.
You had to go home.
He was playing the man. He played the Manhattans last night.
Oh,
he played Fat Freddie Jackson.
There's always next week.
He played Fat Freddie. He played the Manhattans. He played Fat Freddie Jackson. And Freddie Jackson was big.
You had to go home early last night. Man. Why you leave?
Because I got to go read. I got to go prepare.
I don't think that's why you left.
I got to prepare for the Don Miller Show, man. I ain't playing with you.
I think that music did something to you. You had to go home.
In fact, he out there playing that Fat Freddie. You are my lady. I was like, damn, that's Fat Freddie. That was Fat Freddie.
That was his only number one.
No, it was Soul Wednesday, Holly. Soul Wednesday.
Was that his only number one, really?
I think on the mainstream charts, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I think it was his only one because I remember.
That was a bad ass song. Wasn't it?
I was 14 when that song came
out. Yeah. Did you have a lady?
Well, that thing touched something for you, Stedman. Yeah. That thing touched you.
Kind of had an effect on me.
Did you have a lady, Stedman?
Yeah, my middle school girlfriend.
What was her name? Tell us.
I think her name was Amy.
Yeah. Mm. He made that up. Amy. I was hoping you
was my lady.
I was hoping you say Kiana. But
no,
Amy,
we'll take
Tanisha. Tanisha.
We'll take Amy. Thank you so much.
She said Tanisha.
Thank you so much, everybody. The Don Miller Show. Again, you know where you can find us, Monday through Friday right here. Coming up at 2 p.m. is the Shannon Burke Radio Show. Shannon Burke's been around a long time. Many of my friends in Atlanta enjoyed having him, but we got him back now. He's been all over Austin, Atlanta, you name it. Really cut his teeth big, big time here in Central Florida before he left us and came back. But that's 2 p.m. Eastern time, followed by Jesse Kelly. Interesting show. I listen to him in the evenings. Sometimes that I just really sharp guy. And in the morning, you know who it is. It's Bubba the Lost Sponge. We got a lot going on. The station, as you know, we're growing. And we got a big, big, something big cash contest is rolling out next Monday. We're going to be giving away big money, $250 a day right here on Florida Man Radio. So stay tuned and hear the rules. The rules, R-U-L-E-S, because all you don't just be calling in trying to get no money. You got to have some rules to this. You got to pay attention. And you know them other stations over there, iHeartRadio, them big stations over there, they talk about, we give $1,000 away every day right here on this station. No, you don't. You give $1,000 away. You got 817 stations. 817, I'm going to ask you to do the math on that. How much money actually is that?
Less than $2.
Yeah, less than $2 a day from the big station over there with no blacks. They have no blacks in talk radio over there. Not any black person in talk.
No DEI program?
No DEI program at all. We got a whole gang of, your ass in here. We got, Jay got, how many boxes Jay checked? Jay checked black, he checked veteran. So he checked two boxes. Right? Oh, yeah. Angry. He checked the angry box. Holly, what box is you checking on?
Wow.
You hear this, Holly?
What box do you check?
I hear he killing you, man.
I mean, Don checks black, senior, disabled.
That's my boy. All right, we are the DEI show this morning. Right? We are the DEI broadcast.
Holly's from Atlanta, so he's checked some kind of box there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, that escalated. Oh, my.
Hey, Stedman, don't open yourself up for that.
All right.
Stedman, that was actually...
Don't do it. Tell him.
Okay, he must rather find out, Holly.
Thank you so much, everybody. We got a great conversation today. Shout out to all of our friends who are listening up in up at Coleman Correctional Facility in Coleman, Florida. Man, we love you guys. We're praying for you. And it's great that you are allowed to engage in the lively art of conversation. All over the country, we have people who are serving their time listening to us, and we want to just say thank you so much, and thanks to the people in charge for allowing that to happen. And thanks for the mail, as I might add. Thank you for the mail. Very inspirational oftentimes, but we appreciate you listening. Let me see where I'm starting today. Oh, gosh, so much to get to. I want to be petty out of the gate. Can I be petty out of the gate?
You already started being petty, Don.
Wouldn't that be normal?
But yeah, you already started being petty.
Be petty out of the gate.
Yeah, let's not change now.
No. Wow, thanks. But, let me just say this. I got messages to talk about this. My platform's a little different, but I understand how to spin the conversation into a common sense conversation. Shaquille O'Neal, a former NBA All-Star and Hall of Famer, Shaquille O'Neal, many people know Shaq because he's probably the most, in terms of advertising, ain't nobody else bigger in terms of products and push.
Yeah, he got more endorsements than
even movies.
Yeah, products, push. Bad movies, though, horrible movies.
Well, yeah, I never said they were good. But
you ain't like Shazam?
But he's out there. Again,
bad movies, though. Again, bad movies, right? But Big Fella has.
No, one was all right.
Yeah, which one?
The one with Nick Nolte. What was the name of that?
Oh,
movie?
Blue Chips.
Blue
yeah, that
Chips
was all right.
All right.
Yeah,
Blue Chips was all right. We got him.
Yeah.
Bro, just love the ball.
Is he on the other line right now?
So, Holly, you need counseling. You need to check the counseling box for Holly. So, Shaquille O'Neal's wife, Shawnee O'Neal, they were married for probably about...
Ex-wife.
Yeah, they were married for about 9 years, maybe. And early in his career, they have since divorced, had several children from that marriage. She recently wrote a book. She's gone on and she's doing her own thing. She is a producer of Hot Garbage, might I say?
Yeah, that's well, that's
it's a unique name.
You're being far too kind, but.
Yeah, but she's a producer of the Housewives type of shows, right?
Yeah.
And which I view as hot.
Basketball wives.
So she's gone on to do a lot of stuff, nothing positive, probably. But she's done some great things. So she recently wrote a book, and I guess an excerpt from that book talks about her relationship with Shaquille O'Neal. And this was many years ago. This is almost 30 years ago. And it's interesting because she goes on to say that she don't know if she ever loved him. She loved the concept of having a family.
Building a life.
Building a life.
Meaning the lifestyle that came with being with this guy.
And,
let's go ahead and dumb this down.
Let me just say this, guys. 30 years later, why is that necessary? And
because no one's reading the book unless it's in there?
Because it sells books. It sells TV shows.
Yeah, and she's got to mention Shaq. She has to absolutely.
She don't have a story without him.
Right. I mean, she's nothing without Shaq.
No, she don't have a story without him.
You know, it's amazing because. But you can't say anything. You got great kids, it seems like. Your kids haven't been in any trouble. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen your children in trouble. He seems like he's been a great provider.
Oh, I mean, I think that's an understatement.
Yeah, you know, he's always, always, always been in the life of his children. And why do you need to say you don't know if you ever loved him? I think she had to find a way to put his name in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the only way she can do it.
Well, and the more dramatic it is, the more eyeballs you can get on that.
But let me just say this, guys, as a man, I think I would have said to my spouse or significant other, hey, You don't have to put that in there.
Don, she's been selling toxicity for about 20 years.
Okay.
So why would she change up now?
I also don't think he was aware that it was being put in there.
You
don't
no, think, yeah, I mean, probably, think, she probably told him. The he new probably
husband?
Don't care.
You don't think the new husband.
Oh, no.
The new husband, absolutely, he knows.
Okay, like, even Shaq probably
No, then you're
knew.
Right, yeah. Why,
because when you get to that level with Shaq, you know, you got to clear certain things being said about you. So he knew it was in there, but the importance of it, there is none.
Right.
What's that Usher song, Let It Burn? Play that during break when we come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all. It's just a selling point.
No, she's been practicing toxicity for a long time, though. Like, that's her zone, man.
You know, but the problem is, this is what bothers me. The time, I'm on the record. I know Shaquille very well, very well. Like, I know him, He loves his children. At the time when he was 19, 20 years old with a lot of money, he did what a 19, 20-year-old, 21-year-old with that kind of money did. Okay? She knew what was up back then.
I'm about to say, like,
come on, lady. You know? You know, 90% of them don't love the guys that they in that sport. 90% of them.
That's low.
I'm not saying that it's okay, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's okay. I'm not saying that it should ever be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But this should be a level of awareness at that age of who you're marrying and what lifestyle they about to go into.
Mm-hmm.
When they literally spend a half day time away from you and you got females sneaking up the hotel rooms and just throwing themselves at you. It's like, how many no's do you have?
Right.
Like let's be realistic, right? How many no's do you really have? And we're not talking about average that's coming up to you, right?
Tens.
So, and let me talk about this is... Every night, every day.
And you're 20.
And you're at an age where.
You're 22 years old.
You ain't the most attractive guy in the world, so it ain't because of that. Right? So it's a level combo, a woman in your mind that you probably thought you'll never get to begin with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you at a super impressionable age still. Mm-hmm. So once again, how many no's do you realistically have?
And I think you're right, but it's amazing, and I see this more and more. Of these women who attach themselves to these celebrities and then later on come back and use that name. Look, there's no Shawnee O'Neal without Shaquille O'Neal. Let's
correct.
Be clear.
Correct.
She's probably working in the Wawa off of Green Road in Houston. You know what I mean?
Oh,
We can't. We don't know that
I'm
far.
Just telling
we can't.
You right we now. Can't. Okay?
We can't say which specific Wawa.
Which
that's
Wawa.
Crazy, but.
Maybe not the one on Green Road, but maybe the one.
It could be Sheets. Why it got to be Wawa?
Hey, Shawnee, 10
okay.
on 10.
Okay. Maybe, it could be Sheets, though.
Maybe QT out there as well.
Maybe not the one on Green. Right. Absolutely. Right.
It could have been Starbucks. How do you know? Why I got to be Wawa?
Maybe Starbucks or the one on Lee and Greens. Anyway, the fact of the matter is, it is unnecessary, I think. But when you are trying to, it's amazing what these people do for attention. Now, she's married to this dude who was a pastor by the name of Keon Henderson, right? And he's a little sus. Let's be clear, a little sus. Okay? He's a little sus. There's certain things that men do that make me say, he's a little sus, right?
Where's he from?
I don't know. TD found him. So that makes him sus.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that makes him a little sus, right?
Okay. He got baptized.
Oh. Yeah. He got swallowed.
Wait on.
He got swallowed
he's a
up.
Prodigy.
Yeah, he's one of those TDJs.
Swallowed. Oh, man, you just. I didn't know that.
Okay, so anyway.
You done messed me up, man. You done messed up everything.
I'm pretty sure Ash, the researcher for the Real Rap Kane show is in the studio. She can probably find out for us and give us a nod up or down. He's a protege of T.D. Jakes. But even more importantly, there are certain things that men do that make me look at them funny. I think a man should never, ever.
No, not look at them funny, look at them weird. We gotta change this verbiage.
No,
this verbiage
no
is,
diddy.
This verbiage throwing me off.
Right, okay. So she's married this guy who's a pastor who's got this mega church, and she went from making a life on toxicity to being a pastor's wife.
Mm-hmm.
She got saved.
Deal with the spirit.
So you go from this life of toxicity. This is how it's such a scam. It's a is a total con, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go from a life of toxicity, grown-ass women fighting in public on video, calling one another bitches and hoes. You produced this,
great
right?
song.
Right? She produced this, Jay, correct?
Correct.
Correct, Holly? So you produced this, and not just produced it. It was important for the episodes to have this level of toxicity among these black women, right?
Because no one watched the show if there wasn't some
okay.
sort of petty
so every
drama.
Episode, somebody would call somebody else a name, right?
It's the Negro Jerry Springer.
Pretty much.
So she produces this.
What?
Well, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, but now she's trying to take those evils that she was building money with and use it for good.
You know, this was amazing, Holly. After you had the 20 years of nonsense, now you want to change your life. But you leave a fire behind. You leave a destruction behind. You don't do nothing to go remedy that.
Nah, she's left yeah. She's left the destruction behind.
Yeah.
She's making amends of her past. And
Holly, you're a good
things.
Person. Holly, you're a great person.
So
I aspire to be like you one day.
So this lady, right? This lady, Shaquille O'Neal's ex-wife, former wife, marries a pastor.
He's from Gary, Indiana.
After building a brand of toxic entertainment, correct? Can we say
correct.
It that way?
Pure toxic.
Okay. Her entire brand, her entire catalog of production, nothing has been positive. She has made the money she's made on creating negative stereotypes about women.
Well, something has come out of it positive.
What?
The government was able to charge more people taxes.
Okay. All right.
I'm still waiting to hear the positive
part.
I'm talking about for the government is positive. I ain't talking about for
Yeah. So
in reality, it's a negative.
So then she marries this pastor guy, right?
Okay.
Who, again, I'm looking at this guy with the side eye, right?
Yeah.
She writes a book. Takes a shot at her ex-husband
mm-hmm.
as the wife of a pastor. The type of pastors I know, regular-ass guy pastors, would have said, hey, babe, you got to put that behind us.
Yeah.
We're moving on. We're moving in a different direction.
Yeah.
I can assure you that Jay would have checked. No, we're not going to do that. Okay?
Yeah. Oh,
I
no,
know for a fact,
that.
I would have been like, no.
Isn't that okay? embarrassing to even have to bring up?
Again, right? You gone, ma'am.
Yeah.
Okay? That ain't even necessary unless you know this POS book you just wrote ain't
going to move no units.
Move no units unless you say something
she
about Shaquille O'Neal.
Put him on the cover.
Right. Okay. That's right, Gonzo. So, but then your husband, right?
This guy's wife.
That's good.
Who wrote the book? This guy's wife.
My life as Shaq's ex, okay? Okay? For real, right? As Shaq's toxic ex, okay? Toxic producer ex. Anyway, but the husband did something that put him in the news as well. And I'm looking at this, Jay and Gonzo and Holly, as isn't this kind of ironic? She drops a book and suspect as husband goes off in church. And many are saying, he did too much. I want to play this clip of the pastor. And you guys tell me, 321-339-1055. Let's listen to this.
Wish I could hear it.
Hey. Hush.
Okay.
Stop it.
So
stop
pastor,
it.
Pastor is praying and calling on the name of Jesus. Lady gets emotional. Pastor stops in the midst of his prayer to Jesus, Holly, and says, stop her. Then he looks at the lady and says, hush, I'm praying. You're making too much noise. You're throwing me off. And people were like,
he's arrogant like that.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's kind of arrogant to where he's like, hey, I'm talking to God. Everybody else needs to pay attention to what I'm saying to him. I've seen him do this on various different occasions with other, even with instruments, people playing instruments. He's like, hey, you got to do the solo too loud. You know, and that's kind of, he's different, bro. He's a different kind of guy.
Yeah, Jay would call that petty. He's the petty pastor.
So. Bring the piano down.
He's the petty pastor.
Yeah.
So in the same week her book comes out, the pastor shushes a lady who was having an emotional moment in church, right? I got to tell you guys, I haven't seen that before.
Heard of that before.
Would you hush her up? Just hush, right?
Yeah.
It's a better way to do it. We had ushers, Jay, remember? They'd come right over to you and be like, come on.
Hey, come on, walk, take us walk with me. Take us walk with me.
Let them handle it,
We're going to get them a chicken sandwich. They're going to calm down. We'll get them a chicken sandwich. Chicken done, baby.
But a good pastor is not going to let her dictate what's really going on, but he's going to work with it. He's like, okay, well, she being moved, so we need to go over here and move with her. Mm-hmm. You know, let's just extend what I'm wanting. You know, that's how a good pastor. But he like, look, no, this is my show.
Yeah, he y'all got clearly got some issues.
I'm the in front right now, so I'm the main character. So yeah, that's not cool,
but now when you look at who he's married to, right, Madam Toxicity, right? Let's call her that.
I'm sure it's rubbing off on him more.
It's
and more.
Rubbing off on him more and more. You know,
see, that's crazy.
What?
Because the terminology I just utilized in a T.D. Jakes situation, that's weird.
I'm
just saying.
Where's your mind at right now?
Nah, my mind on this conversation. This is weird.
The point is this, right? The offspring of certain mindsets. Can I call it that?
Yeah.
This guy is a spinoff of a certain ideology, a certain mindset.
Correct.
Okay, the big guy. The swallower, the swallower, right?
That's where we go and frame him at.
He said it. I didn't say that. The swallower, So this guy comes from...
Swallowed.
This guy's a spinoff of the swallower, yes or no?
In training.
It's a swallower in training.
Okay.
Okay?
Not a swallower.
He's a swit or a sit, might I add, okay?
Sip. Sip in training.
So, but... The book drops, he goes viral.
Mm-hmm.
This is why you got to understand. I've been in PR by many, many, many years. Watch this, Holly. He does this about a week ago, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
He's been on 6 talk shows last week talking about that incident.
He's on Tamron
Hall. Okay, no. First of all, he's on Tamron Hall. At least 6. No, I've seen him on at least 6.
No, I'm just saying Tamron Hall was one of them.
So as someone who's booked and been booked on these kind of shows, they do that way out, Holly. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Oh, this has been planned. This is a plan. This isn't just happening.
Yeah.
This is a planned out routine set up for...
He said the lady been yelling for 4 years. that was an excuse. That was reason.
He had to wait for the book to drop.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, to say something to
him. Yeah, he said this lady been yelling for 4 years. He's tired of her yelling. Okay. She didn't talk to God quieter.
But
I get what you're saying,
But couldn't he have called, had somebody?
That's normally, there's an etiquette to it. There's an etiquette to it. We all seen it. Yeah. We all went to church as kids.
Yeah.
The ushers come get you. They wear
fan.
Paper fan on you.
Yeah, with the funeral home on
with
the back.
With the funeral home, all the, you know, information on it. They put the white gloves of God on you, and they walk you out.
Right. Come on, man. But this guy, he's a petty pastor. He's probably a suspect as hell to me. And
that's a petty household, boy. Can you imagine?
Yeah. He's married to a toxic woman, and they're playing a game with these people. And I feel bad for the lady. People worship. Look, my mama, I don't care what Rev Max Wayne was preaching about. He could have been preaching about the sun shining upon the walnut tree. She was going to holler back at him, say it.
When would he do it? When would he do it?
That walnut tree right there. Yeah, I seen the walnut tree, right? They're just people like this, Jay. Yeah. You had a grandma. Yeah, they're going to reach. If you go to a black church and there's no rebut from the congregation, you're in the wrong church.
That's a boring church.
Yes.
They're all asleep.
Yeah, man. Holly, they all going to say something.
Yeah, that's a black Catholic church.
No, they butt. They rebut, okay?
But they read back. But yeah. I'm talking about somebody that's going to say, mm-hmm. Well.
Right, man. It's you know, it's just when I see this and I see this lady write a book, look, I'm gonna put it on the record. I know Shaquille very well. He is not a bad guy.
No, not at all.
Okay, and he was amazingly good to her. Okay, I don't know what happened in their marriage, but she stayed long enough
to get that bag.
To get the bag, right?
There's probably something dumb.
She
like,
had a bunch of damn turns. Man, when you have a bunch of Shaquille O'Neal kids, you deserve whatever you get.
Yeah.
dump some. They ain't none of them kids little.
Did a lotto tickets.
Yeah, her insides is tore up forever.
The what?
Oh, oh God. I was trying to figure out where
you
it was going.
You said she did a rejuvenation?
What? I mean, you want to. That's why I'm looking at dude man. Going, okay, either he gay or something.
But she, they had four kids.
And they all came out.
Yeah, no.
They're 5 foot two, 200 pounds.
He's got six. They had four.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're all 6'9".
Okay? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's some. Yeah,
but again, I just think it's unnecessary sometimes when you need to put somebody out there or hurt somebody by saying that. He knew what was going on, and I'm sure he's been apologetic over the years. Well, I know for a fact he has. But you don't put him in the book so people can go read your damn book. Okay, write about this, what you've done to destruction and what you've left behind you, this trail of destruction and toxicity you've left behind you with these damn TV shows of these grown-ass black women with these fake-ass eyelashes and this fake-ass hair slapping each other and calling them names.
That's it? That's all the fake part you're going to stop at?
We'll be back in a moment.
Back to the Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Why? See, it's burning me to hold on to this.
Sean, listen to the song.
I know this is something I gotta do.
Wish I could hear it.
I mean, I want to.
We'll tell you what it is in a minute.
What I'm trying to say is that
I need Shawnee O'Neal Henderson.
I feel like this is coming to an end. And it's better for me to let it go now.
You got to.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. I know it hurts.
It's a true dedication.
Gotta let it burn.
Gotta let it burn.
It's gonna burn for me to say this.
Coming from the heart, baby.
A long time coming, but we didn't bend fell apart. We really want to work this out, but I don't think it's gonna change. I do, but you don't. Think it's best we go our separate ways. Everyone, I should stay in this relationship.
Thank you so much. Welcome back to the Don Miller Show. Wow, this was a good song. This was Usher. Let it burn.
Let it burn.
Let it burn.
That was Usher.
Let it burn, baby.
Usher.
Usher.
Thank you so much, everybody. Welcome back.
Usher burning now.
That's almighty.
Yeah, he got that thing. He got that Samsonite that I heard. Somebody sued him.
Yeah,
he got that carry on.
He got what dude just said. Hey, take that chair with you.
I feel bad for him because I think he got it when he was a little boy.
Yeah.
He was real young.
He got that
old
at camp.
Just doing what they do.
Yeah, he got that at music camp.
Yeah, band. Music camp. That's
at band camp.
Oh, wow.
One time at band camp.
Take that.
Wow. You know,
bad boy, baby.
We are all proponents of education, and especially when it comes to our children, especially those of us who had limited access and had to figure out a way and find a way to get to the next level. I came across something. Jay, I think I sent it to Jay. I think I sent it to everybody. I think it's amazing sometimes we send each other the same stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that tells you the mindset in which the people who engage with each other. There's a teacher, a former teacher, just dropped a nugget the other day, and I want to play this. Check it out.
Okay, I am not trying to fearmonger you, but I was an assistant principal, I was a middle school teacher, and I was a high school teacher. And I need you to know, America's in a literacy crisis, and they're not making a big enough deal about it. Our children cannot read. Our children cannot read, let alone writing a paragraph, let alone comprehension. They cannot read. They do not know how to sound words out. They were not taught that. And if you're wondering, well, then why does my kid just keep getting passed on to the next grade? Because that's what they're doing now. They're not holding the children back. They're moving them on. They're graduating them knowing that your child is illiterate. our next change makers, our next lawmakers, our next voters cannot read. I beg of you, take the tablets and the cell phones away. Practice letter recognition and sounds and reading with your child, please. And okay. I'm going to keep it a...
Let me just say this. There's truth to that, guys.
Scary, too.
Yeah. Jay?
There's absolutely truth to it. Yeah. When you look, you know, people highlight food deserts.
Mm-hmm.
They highlight healthcare deserts.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't highlight education deserts.
Right.
And even these schools that are recognized as being, I guess, leaders in their counties or whatever.
Right.
They stopped teaching curriculum. They really stopped educating kids.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is according to a goddamn test.
Yeah.
And it's causing kids depression. It's causing kids to commit suicide.
Anxiety.
It's calling it's emotions and mental disabilities and disorders that they're creating in children.
Mm-hmm.
They're not coming from urban environments. We understand why they got it.
Right.
And these more affluent environments, that is coming from the education piece, bro, mm-hmm. or lack thereof.
I agree with her, too, when she said about the phones and the iPhone, the iPads.
That's to an extent. It depends on what your kids are actually watching on there, though.
Right, yeah.
Right? The problem is parents don't talk. You know when a baby is born, and I never did this with none of my kids. Mm-hmm. You know that Google, Gaga nonsense?
Mm-hmm.
No, you talk
talking
to kids.
To like a baby, yeah.
Because
yeah.
guess what happens in my household? We talk, we have open conversations where the verbiage isn't going to get stepped on.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning we're not dumbing nothing down.
Right.
And if you don't understand a word, we're going to explain what the word means.
Mm-hmm.
But I have high-level conversations in my house better than I have outside most of the time. but it's what you train and teach your kids.
Mm-hmm.
The tablets and the phones is not a problem. That's information. That's accessible information, right? That's the ultimate information highway. It's what content they're viewing on there. If you're just allowing them to look at first-person shooter games and all that other nonsense, yeah, that's not building anything solid.
There's a literacy crisis. I've been talking about this. Stedman, you've heard me talk about it, I'm sure. And Holly, you know how long I've been talking about it. There are adults, 20 in their 20s. When we were growing up, a person who couldn't read.
Oh, you got a joke.
Right,
get
Holly.
Your dumb behind off the corner.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
dumb. Get oh, off
yeah.
the corner.
Yeah. A person who couldn't read.
Absolutely.
Was shunned.
It was ostracized.
You were shunned.
I'm going to use the word ostracized.
If you couldn't read, right? If you couldn't read, everybody knew you couldn't read, okay?
You got joked okay. out of the place.
Dexter Manley, remember that guy?
Yeah.
He got joked for being illiterate.
Yeah.
And so now there's so many who can't read.
Hmm.
I was, oh my gosh, guys. Oh, it's frightening. And when we say can't read, we're not talking about big words.
We're talking about Cat in the Hat.
Wow.
I'm not talking about Floyd Mayweather either.
Right. He can't read, okay? It's a crisis. It's embarrassing. They are allowing these people to be passed through, and they're going to colleges. And I swear to you, and Jay, you probably saw it. I know you probably saw it. Holly, I hope you saw it. They spray painted the steps of a university the other day, a campus that said Free Palestine, and they spelled Palestine wrong.
Yes.
I mean, yes. To be fair, it's a big
they
word.
Palisade. You talking about the highway?
That's a big word. That's a big word.
Turned it out.
They spelled it wrong.
Yeah, but you need to practice that beforehand.
On a college campus.
They should have had someone
painted
like,
it wrong. Yeah.
They should have had someone with a clipboard with it already written down so they can make sure.
But they can't spell. They can't read. I'm telling you, I've seen it. It is the most embarrassing. When I was
why do you think they're wasting their time?
When I was dating down, oh man. I saw it up close.
When you were dating down?
When you were in charity work?
Yeah. When I was dating down. And I admit it. Everybody ain't gonna admit they dated down. I dated down for a period of time in the last 20 years.
Don, when you're at the top, you can't go anywhere but down. So you know, it's not your fault.
Oh wow.
I dated down.
I'm not going to lie to your face like that.
Okay. when I was dating
pretty
down.
Pretty over dumb.
Okay, yeah. let me tell you. Right,
now
right.
He's stressing a lot.
Right, what
we've
you
all done it.
Pretty over dumb.
Well, she's gorgeous, but yeah, you know, she can't spell, but that's all right.
You don't know how dumb.
Look at that ass.
Jay, you don't know how dumb she is, Jay.
Yes, you do. It don't take long.
No, it don't
take long. Because your problem is y'all let them talk. You got to let them talk first. We get to the other stuff later. We going to talk first.
So and I was dating down.
What is there and there? You know the difference.
What about the other there?
Yeah, don't there, be throwing there, that third there.
There's three.
What the hell's an apostrophe?
Three of them. Do you know the difference?
We're not there yet.
We're not there yet. And we ain't going over there either.
T-H-E-I-R? No.
So it's amazing because you could tell this was in the last 20 years, guys. It's just, I think it started in the mid-90s maybe. Or late, early,
but what?
When just the whole concept of reading went sideways because
it started a little later than that,
probably 2000.
I can read.
Okay, but it's so bad now that they can't read. It's like they really can't read.
I think it's going to be great job opportunities in the future for kids that can read. That's which is sad to say, but you think about it. If this continues to go in that direction, reading is going to be like software engineering. It's going to be a much sought after skill.
Yeah, and don't how to do math. You really do it, right?
Too, you got AI.
Nobody can do math.
AI now is doing a bunch of stuff for you.
Mm-hmm. But
you
think
write
about
whole
this.
Paragraphs
I
and stuff.
I know a lady.
Articles.
I know a lady, and I love her so much, and I want to tell her. And I think we're going to just kind of tell her together. We're going to tell her together. I was going to pick Ashley's brain at some point about this. She's homeschooling her two kids. And she can't read. I'm like, damn. She told me, I'm homeschooling my kids. Homeschooling.
Don, it's funny you say this.
You're ruining these kids.
Man, Ashley just had a whole argument about this conversation.
I'm like,
everybody is not equipped to homeschool their kids.
No,
but they don't know the curriculum themselves.
No,
well, they can't read it.
No, I'm just saying, even if they can read, because the way we learned things, the way we were taught things, are not the way they were taught things today.
Right.
The stuff that we were taught, they're not even taught. They taught something that's unimportant. Right. So, but then you got teachers that don't even know the curriculum.
They don't
understand it.
I know.
So you mean to tell me this ain't even your lane, and somehow you're going to pick this up in 48 hours?
And this lady, I don't mean no harm. She's a sweet lady. She got her GED in jail. You know what I mean?
It don't matter where you get it, as long as you got it.
But
man,
you
got
to listen, though. Slow down. She got it in jail.
I kind of got mine there, too.
No, you didn't. What do you mean?
Job court.
Yeah, that's kind of jail.
Well, just because you got the degree doesn't mean much.
But your education came.
Outside of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But she got it, and she's a sweet lady. She's trying the best she can. She got a total of three kids. One of them, she's got a 19-year-old and a 5 and a 7, okay? And the 19-year-old, he's in jail. And so she's trying to do the 5 and the 7, and somebody told her she could homeschool. I'm like, really can't homeschool. You know, like,
no, I can. Like, it's
a
thing.
You see the 5-year-old. The 5-year-old can't even say hi. Okay? He just nod his head at you. Like, what's up? Okay?
He's just shy.
7-year-old think. The 7-year-old think his name is the 5-year-old's name. I'm like, no. That's his name.
They don't even have self-awareness.
The problem is, they need to be in school. You know what I mean? You say hi to the 5-year-old, the 7-year-old say hi.
Part of the importance of actually going to school is a social interaction, too.
Yeah,
and
man.
Being able to learn all that.
Yeah.
Like, I think homeschooling is okay to a degree, but at some point, you got to get out there. You know? You got to meet other people.
Yeah, but, how do you tell somebody you ain't equipped to do it?
Just like that.
Let's run the break. When we come back, I want to ask the question. Well, how do you tell somebody, put them kids in school? I pick them up and drop them off. But we got to save these two because they are not good. I said, how did the little 5-year-old, then the 7-year-old was like, hi. I was like, I said, that's my name too, Mr. Dawn. We'll be back in a moment.
Back to the Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Everybody ain't your partner. Everybody. really wanna take your place.
Facts.
Yeah. Seems like everything.
Thank you so much. Welcome back. You gotta put that on the playlist, Jay.
You gotta put that on the playlist, baby.
Yeah.
Now this when you play at the other spot.
Yeah.
This ain't where I played last night.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Welcome back to the Don Miller Show. I wanna get
do
into
you
this.
Think Prodigy would do a...
Huh?
What you I said you think Prodigy would do a song like that?
Yeah, that's the kind of music he likes.
Yeah, sounds like him.
Yeah, that's trail ride music. That's stepping trail ride music. Let me just say this. I want to get back into this conversation about education because it is amazing. Before COVID, oftentimes in the urban communities, our children, for sure, was a little over 2.5 grades behind when it came to literacy, math, and reading, right?
Mm.
Then comes COVID. That number is almost at 3.5 grades behind.
Mm.
Okay, the charts are ugly when you look at the fact that almost 85% of kids in urban communities are not proficient in math and reading. Mm. 85%.
Why is that? Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there are a number of factors, but I would like the callers to engage in this conversation. Maybe they have some ideas. 321-339-1055 is the number to dial. Tell me your thoughts, Jay.
Well, when you're already in an environment that isn't conducive for learning, right?
Right.
Everybody doesn't have a household to go back to, especially in those environments,
mm-hmm.
right? The average person doesn't have a household to go back to be assisted with learning.
Right.
There's nobody there to help you with your homework, right? Mm-hmm. So the only real assistance you get is from school.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened with COVID, where we went to that distance learning, mm-hmm. that virtual learning, who was there to help the kids at home with learning?
Nobody.
So it makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm pretty sure that's the only areas that spiked to that degree.
Mm-hmm. Guarantee you. Yeah. No, ain't no question. And it's funny because you're right. How can we expect Daquan to read if his mama can't read?
And well, mama ain't there. Well, I'm just saying, mama ain't there.
And if mama there, and oftentimes because of the environment we live in right now, she can't read. We're just talking to Ash how, you know, Ash got kind of bullied because she could read. And it was embarrassing. But when I was growing up, if you were a non-reader, we drug your ass so bad, was like, I need to learn how to read. Yeah. Right? We embarrassed you.
If you couldn't read, you had to know how to fight.
Yeah.
The kids that couldn't read could fight.
So no, that's what I'm saying. They had to know how to fight very well.
Them alone.
Yeah. And they all went. They all went in that same little class that went to lunch like 10:30 in the morning, get them in and out.
They all sat in the circle Indian style. Yeah.
They didn't change classes. They just went outside and then went back in.
Yeah, they did not change classes. Everything, that one teacher taught every subject. Yeah, and he was always a big guy.
And half the subjects was gym.
and you know, it's interesting. Let's head over to the phone lines. Hey, you're on the Don Miller Show. What's your name? Where are you joining us from this morning?
Is this me?
Yes. Good morning. Where are you joining? Where are you calling from? What's your name?
I'm over in Haines City.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good. I used to be a math teacher. Mm-hmm. And the problem is the family household is broken down to where kids are not really held to any expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lower quartile or the lower half, the curriculum does not accommodate that. And it's unfortunate that it should, but they're still trying to move those kids along so quickly that once they fall behind, math especially is built on scaffolding where, you got to know the prior to know the current.
Mm-hmm.
And they just fall further and further behind. And we're not doing anything to fix that problem.
Well, I can tell you are 100% right. And we're seeing it every day. Like, you got to know, they're trying to get these kids to know the current, and they don't even know the basis, the basics, right? Yeah. And it's like, hey, it ain't my problem, you can't keep up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then part of the other problem is that we're holding them, we're teaching stuff that isn't going to get them a job. It's not going to hold them a job. Really, Algebra 2, even higher up Algebra 1,
right.
If you got a career that directly goes to it, fine, make it a college course. But let's teach kids, basic economics.
Mm-hmm.
There's no economics. Let's pay the higher interest rate is what they think when they get out of high school. Mm-hmm. That must be good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the school district don't get the funding for that. They don't get the extra funding for that.
Yeah.
That they need to go to them.
But thank you so much. Thank you so much, my friend. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Listen to this. I am all in favor of getting rid of, unless this is something you're interested in, mm-hmm. Getting rid of algebra.
It should be, right? It should solely be an elective.
A whole bunch of these. Man, you understand how hard it is on a kid who's thrust into a math class. He's got to take physics and algebra, and he just... And this is nothing what
and
he
you
wants
don't
to
be
do.
A nuclear scientist, or
right?
Nothing.
You know, yeah. You know, he just wanted to work at his uncle's mechanic shop and get out of school, yeah. Right? I want to work and change tires at my uncle's mechanic shop. He said he's gonna pay me $17 an hour. Why do I have to do this?
Be fine with that.
So he gets to a point where he just drops out.
Yeah,
you know, because tell me. Everybody in the studio, if you're on the phone lines, give me a call. If you're not an electrical engineer or some kind of engineer. When was the last time you used trigonometry or algebra in your daily walk?
Never heard of it.
Not a day.
Never.
Not
Jay?
One time.
Jay?
I only come close to it because I build matrices for processors to see the functioning of the processor. So
see what I mean? It's always one.
No, I'm being honest.
It's always one.
We're making fun of them for being smart.
You see the nonsense, right?
I see it.
Okay,
right.
Go ahead.
No,
come
but
on,
I'm
man.
Saying, but it's not too many arenas where you need that in, mm-hmm. right? That's a specific part of my job where to mm-hmm. see the performance of a program that there's some metrics that you got to figure out.
Okay.
Right? Uh-huh. The average person, no, to write a letter, to write a policy, you don't need to know algebra.
Right. Right. But again, you just made a heck of a point, right? So why do we need this? And because I'm telling you, if you go to any level of schooling, and let's take some of the neighborhoods out, let's go to the core of this situation, urban communities, rural communities. Do you know how many kids...
Disenfranchised communities.
Let's say disenfranchised. That's the word we're going to use. Okay. Do you know how many kids just don't even want to go to school because of a class?
Yeah. Absolutely.
They don't even want to go because they can't get over the hump in one class.
Correct.
I hated math.
And they don't have the resources to help them.
I hated math. I couldn't do math. Okay? I just like... And one of my teachers, man, Miss Hunter, I love you so much. I hope you're still around. She figured out a way, she's like, to kind of help me through math. I hated it. I had I was all eight. Everything
it's Satan's language.
Listen to me, Jay. I had never had anything less than an A.
Mm-hmm.
Except for math.
Mm-hmm.
And you follow me?
I got you.
I hated it. I didn't want to go to school, not because of any other class, because of math. And the people had identified that I wasn't proficient in math, and they killed me, right? You can't even count. Yeah, but I can read better than you. You know what I mean? But
you're talking about an environment, we're going to be petty about everything. So that don't count.
But you're right, though. So, and I see this still to this day, there's something like I didn't need to know algebra or trig.
No, that's a fact.
Calculus. I didn't need to know calculus. What the hell am I going to do with calculus?
Advanced physics.
Come on. In high school.
For what?
Yeah.
Why is it necessary? But I'll tell you what it's doing.
You're making meth? What do you need that for?
It's creating a greater divide.
Just saying.
It's bringing, providing anxiety and creating a greater divide.
No, absolutely.
Okay, your baby girl right now, it's testing is coming up, right?
No, she's in it.
And she's on 10 right now.
Yeah.
On 10, right? Yeah. And you see this and she's a smart young lady.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay? And she's on 10. Can you imagine the kids who don't have a mom and daddy at the house?
Well, they just stop caring.
They stop caring.
Because what else are you going to do?
Right. You know, and I'm hoping and I believe there's some teachers out there who really care.
But we got to get back to making going to school cool again, right?
Yeah.
So remember during the break, we was kind of talking about this piece of it where when we went to school, right, no matter what you did outside for your extracurricular activities, mm-hmm. right, that may not have been legal or illegal, right? Whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't go to school, you couldn't stand on it. You couldn't sit with us. You couldn't talk with us. You couldn't joke with us, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, get your dumb behind out of here. You don't go to school.
Right.
It shifted to, oh, you go to school? Get away from me.
Right.
Oh, right? So whatever
but
happened
when did that happen?
That had to be late 90s, early 2000s, mm-hmm. far wise when that part shifted,
right.
where it became uncool to be smart.
Mm-hmm.
It was uncool to be dumb. Like being honest, like right, it was.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
If you pronounce a word wrong, if you if you didn't articulate properly, if you, you know what I'm saying? Like your word structure and format was off. It's like, you dumb, get out of here.
Right, right. It, especially with the girls.
What?
You had no chance with a girl.
What?
No chance. And now, the dumber you are,
the more attracted they are to you.
Absolutely. You know?
That's how you get booty hole brown.
Absolutely. You know?
Discharge.
Right. That's exactly
how you
what
that's how
is.
You get to there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you go look at a guy.
No, ain't
like,
no pause on that. That's a woman saying that.
Yeah, a woman.
That ain't no pause.
Gonorrhea green's my favorite. Yeah.
But when you look at it, you're right.
You got a woman laying on a doctor's table talking, I'm trying to figure out why my vagina stinks.
Right. Like and streaming it live.
On Instagram.
Streaming it. And people are watching.
Right.
Millions of people.
I don't know what you're talking about, and just leave me out of it.
Okay.
No, we talking about the dumbness today.
The dumbness.
We're talking about
the
level. I was following that part.
We're talking about the level of dumbness.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting because when you look at the challenges in the classroom itself, and you look at these disenfranchised communities, there's not even a focus on changing it. There's no.
There's no money on changing it. Where the money in changing it?
As long as
the money on keeping it the way it is.
The money's in the ignorance.
Everybody's getting paid something.
Yeah.
And they're comfortable. There's not going to be any.
The money's in the ignorance.
But I also know that the same mechanisms that fund the education system
fund the prison system.
Fund the prison system. So and they're identifying in third and fourth grade who's not going to make it. So the check mark goes against this name, and you end up. Think about this. We've talked about this
keep
on the show
on
before.
He's our next slave.
You 10 years old with fake eyelashes. I got a bed for you.
The little boy cussing the other day. Right? See the little boy cussing with the silver teeth?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, he's done. It's a wrap for him. Yeah. Right? He can't be saved.
Yeah.
But and the amazing thing, if you go to especially state prisons in this country, the overwhelming number of these inmates. Started failing in fourth and fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
The literacy rate in many of the prisons, the reading scores in many of the state institutions across America don't exceed fourth grade, fifth month, like 4.5. That's crazy. But there's a correlation.
That was a direct correlation.
And there's money in incarceration. There's more money in incarceration than education.
It's more money.
So we should open up.
There's more money in the treatment than it is the cure.
Absolutely. Always.
Always.
Yeah.
Let's check out some open mics, Jay.
Hi, guys. It's Meg up in Crestucky. Just want to say I love what this teacher did. I love what she said. I agree with all of it. I just wish she had a bigger voice so that more people could hear it. And I wish the people with the bigger voices would step out and say the same things. Come on, what are we doing, guys?
She quoted Don Miller.
I worked at a daycare for 6 years, and there was a child there, a four-year-old, that had a vocabulary better than most grown-ups I know. And I found out that his parents spoke to him like an adult. They didn't do any little baby talking to him ever. They always spoke to him like an adult, and that kid was so smart. Just saying. Beedo.
Wow, what great I just subject say. As always. You guys, man, there's so many ways to attack what you're talking about. You know, originally education was about keeping a whole bunch of worker bees, but now I think it's the bigger plan is more sinister. It's the dumbing down of America to make us more controlling, to move more toward an authoritarian society. And it's purposeful and it's sinister.
Hey, Don, I think this illiteracy problem is by design. We need to get rid of the Department of Education and give everything back to the states because an illiterate population will have to be dependent upon the government. And this is what these global elitists want, illiterate people.
And that's it?
Well, when you factor in the illiterate part, everyone understands that an uneducated population is a population you can control a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, remember, you go back to that basic foundation.
Remember they used to teach cursive, and then all of a sudden they stopped? People were saying that the reason they did that is because now you can't read these older documents such as the Constitution and stuff like that. And you can't, now you can't read your own rights because you don't know how to read cursive. So what he's saying makes sense. If you basically make the population illiterate and dumb, what are they going to do? They're just going to be, okay, roll over.
You control the population.
Okay, I guess I'll, you know, do whatever you say.
You control the population.
You know, and again, you look at all the correlations. I just mentioned something a few minutes ago, and I want to make sure I was right. Of the 2.2 million inmates incarcerated in America's prisons, right? Three out of five inmates in America's prisons are illiterate. 94% of prison inmates have less than a high school diploma. 94%.
That's not about right.
The correlations are staggering.
Yeah.
Okay. When you can look at a kid, a high school dropout is five times more likely to go to prison than a high school graduate. It's just when you look at the numbers and you look at what's happening, and this goes to the conversation about charter schools, right? come on, man. All right. This goes to the conversation about charter schools. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Your thoughts.
Nah, I mean, it's nonsense.
Huh?
It's nonsense.
What?
The charter school thing, man. It's nonsense,
man. Tell me why.
Because you look at what they deem to be charter schools. To me, it's not much different than charter school and the magnet school.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably 1 or 2 degrees of separation, okay, right? But if you look where they place these schools at, typically in impoverished, underserved areas, right? What they typically do is they don't allow those local kids in those local communities, but that should be their local school. They get bussed out to a school less than, and they bring in kids they deem to be more smarter or educated that's going to bring up their grade levels so they can get that funding money.
So
it does nothing really to benefit it up and bring up that community.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So what's the purpose of it?
Again, we've had these conversations on many occasions. I support voucher programs. I support a program where if a parent wants to take their kid to another school,
you can go to jail for that.
I know.
Going to jail for that.
You follow me though?
Like, this is why it's nonsense, man.
Okay, and the whole magnet school thing is not what it was designed to be.
It's like the portal.
Huh? It's the portal. It's the college. It's the NCAA portal. That's what it is.
Wait, I'm awake now.
No, it's the portal. It's the portal.
It's the portal,
and,
man.
And I just think the entire mechanism is designed not to build anybody up.
No, it's built up. It's not who we need to be built up.
Right.
Because the gap that people miss, and I think what people miss every day, whether it's the rural areas or it's the urban areas, you're only strong as your weakest link. So if you bring up these disenfranchised areas, how much stronger is America? How much stronger is the economy? I know people don't think in them zones, and I know I'm probably thinking somebody out there probably like, oh, Jay's tripping today. Mm-hmm. But if you build up these areas properly and invest in these areas, because people want help. People just ain't out there happy with food stamps. Everybody's not on that kind of time.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking news. Mm-hmm. Everybody don't want to go to jail. Breaking news. Everybody don't want to sell drugs. Breaking news. Right? But if you actually invest properly in these areas and allow these schools and bring good schools in, better education and all that to these areas.
But you got to have the funding mechanism.
They got the funding because guess what they built? When they said when the Philadelphia school district went bankrupt, you know what they built outside Philadelphia? Mm-hmm. A $350 million prison.
Okay, watch this. Again. That goes back to closing the Department of Education. We don't need a Department of Education in D.C. For what? Let this go back to the states. They close 50 public schools in Chicago and then immediately build a stadium for a team that's had bad seasons for the last 19 years. Okay?
Makes more money than schools. Okay?
Closed 50 high schools, and now they're pivoting all 50 of these schools toward migrant shelters.
Right? Oh, correct.
Okay?
Kill the education system, build more prisons.
Okay?
Absolutely. We're going to fill these beds up.
And so when you look at it, how do you close 50 public schools, all of which were in impoverished communities, underserved communities? There were schools they were closing that one gang was at this school. The other gang was at the school across the street. They knew this, so they closed this school and put these kids over there with the rival gang. Mm-hmm. And then you don't expect to have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then build a stadium for DePaul University, mm-hmm. who's been terrible since
I was a kid.
Right. You follow me? And build them a place to play. The point is,
they got the money.
The money, let's be clear.
But once again, the money is in the treatment, not the cure.
But you're right. When they it's amazing you mentioned that the prison they built in Philadelphia.
That's what Bill Cosby was at.
$300 million. And they were closing schools at the time.
Yeah, closing schools. The school district's been bankrupt probably my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
But they got a big prison industrial complex, one of the biggest in the country. That's the city of Philadelphia's prison industrial complex.
And let's be clear, they also have a captive audience. You know that this little boy whose daddy went, the likelihood of a child's who dad goes to prison, going to prison.
Oh, it's yeah.
Everybody I knew growing up whose daddy went to prison.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, they went to.
Almost all of them, yep. Ollie?
At some point in time.
Almost all of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so people know this, they're gauging it, but you're right. I think the problem is coming up with a cure. It defeats the purpose.
It's not physically responsible.
It's really unfortunate.
It's like killing your own business.
Yeah.
You know, and I go back to the conversation, if we rise, they fall, so to speak. You know what I mean? If the American public.
And that's the most idiotic thing you can think. And if you're thinking that, if you actually believe that, you're an idiot.
Yeah. It's like they're frightened to. They want to dumb down America.
But this is the reason which started the HBCUs by a white guy, a senator for Vermont. This was the reason because he recognized and identified the stronger the black community is, the better the economic system would be for America.
But you know what you just said is this, right? Historical black college and university. If you go down the list of these black colleges and universities, most of them were started by white people.
No, absolutely.
And there are people who don't even know this.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? Howard was white.
But the guy from Vermont started the A&M side.
I know. Yeah. Agriculture.
Well, Cheney was the first one.
Agriculture and mechanical.
You're correct.
And so it's just, how do we get back when we see the problem and see the crisis at the level it is? How do we kind of get back to just the basics of building your own situation? I know the breakdown of the family. Yeah, we had that show already.
We passed that.
How do we get back? Listen, we're going to run the break. When we come back, we're going to turn the corner. You're listening to The Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Back to The Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Going back in that motorcycle. She ain't going to get on that. She going to get on that. Well, Mr. Y'all Chef.
Welcome back to the Don Miller Show. This is that Zydeco, Jay.
Did anyone ever tell you it's rhythmly challenged?
Welcome back to the Don Miller Show. You like that statement?
Whoa, it's all right, y'all.
Thank you so much. Welcome.
I can relate to the rhythmically challenged.
Thank you so much.
I will be doing the music next week, Stedman. I don't know what Don just picked out.
Thank you so much. Well, welcome back to the Don Miller Show. Of course, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on Florida Man Radio. As you know, Shannon Burke will be back at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. You can always check that show out, 2 to 6, right here on Florida Man Radio. Hey, listen, I want to get into this conversation. Florida Agriculture and Mechanical University. A storied university in American history, just sounds like they just got got.
Oh, they got got.
And this guy who vowed to make a donation of $237 million to the university, Gregory Jerami, is, I guess he's a hemp farmer, 30-year-old hemp farmer, investor, entrepreneur, was allowed to be a part of the commencement, the spring commencement, and he pledged a gigantic donation. If this was real, this would be huge.
Mm-hmm.
And so many are saying that this gentleman is a scammer. He also made a significant pledge to Coastal Carolina University recently. Nobody knows if they've received their money. Mm-hmm. There is an NDA involved in this pledge to FAMU. Don't tell anybody. I hope it's true. Mr. Mrami's $237,750,000
he's donating the stock
transfer.
Right.
Received the same manner in which we have accepted all other stocks donated to the university. As with any non-cash gift received, such as crypto, real estate, and stocks, it will be converted to cash and recorded appropriately. The transfer was made over a month ago, and the donation amount represents what the stock price was at the time of the transfer. Although the plan is for the university to sell the stock before the year is over, specifics about a potential date cannot be shared due to the non-disclosure agreement. Go ahead. Come on.
Well, I'm saying he's donating the stock to them, mm-hmm. and supposedly the stock is worth over $200 million. Mm-hmm. But what if it's not?
I mean, there's no harm, no foul. They transfer it, ain't worth it, ain't worth it. You're wasting somebody's time. That's most that come out of it. But, I mean,
maybe this guy's doing it for publicity, which worked clearly. Mm. You know, obviously he's getting something out of it.
I've never heard of this guy.
I haven't either.
He must be exporting a whole lot of hemp.
I've never heard of the guy. No. And I kind of spent a lot of time
In that arena.
Okay. Never heard of this guy. Not the hemp arena, but the black guy with money arena. And I've never heard of him. And I hope this works out for the university.
It'll be they can change their life over there.
But why is he donating that much money?
But he launched, and listen, on Monday's call, Jerami explained how his journey of building up his wealth over time started with the landscaping and property management business that he owned before selling it in 16. He then launched an investment company called Batterson Southeast Capital Group from 17 to 20 before shifting to hydroponic farming of plants with Batterson Farms Corporation, which was established in 2021.
Now, he's grown homegrown weed. Okay. That's all he's
now, doing. I know a guy who you guys have heard on this show who is in that business. I know a guy in Lubbock, Texas, which they say this gentleman has 114 acres of land with 7 warehouses with a goal of hiring 600 people. So y'all know what I do. I call people. So mm-hmm. I call 3 or 4 people in that area. 3, for sure. I talked to 3. I called one other, right? And he also says he has offices in Van Horn and San Antonio. Jermani said he currently has only a few full-time administrative employees, but about 7,000 indirect contract employees that he expects to grow to 10,000. I called 3 people, talked to three.
This math ain't math.
That's what I was going to say.
I talked to 3 people in the industry.
Okay.
Nobody's heard of him.
It doesn't make sense.
The numbers that he's throwing out there with trying to allude to being able to afford to donate access to $200 million through whatever medium that we're talking about.
Logistically, it doesn't make sense though.
Well, you know, the power plays that industry is people like Curaleaf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's like 3 or 4 major power players.
Yeah, and we sit down with the chief security officer
that worked for 2 of them
every day, right? Absolutely.
And it's like your company has never even came up in this conversation.
Yes, he's one of the people say he never heard of him.
No, that's what I'm saying. Right. So it's like mathematically, now maybe your previous businesses that you sold but that particular weed industry we talking about, nah.
Well, so he built up a landscaping business and sold it for.
Man, I'm going to go out there and get me a lawnmower today.
It's definitely not over $1 million or $2. That's a stretch, the landscaping business. But, and then what was the second business? Investing firm?
But let me just say something, guys.
A capital year.
And he's how old? 30?
30 years old.
Nah.
But let me. Florida A&M formally introduced this guy to the university community as a keynote speaker for the 2024 graduation ceremony. Again, guys, let's just have a real conversation. What are we doing? So this guy shows up as a keynote speaker.
He knew someone.
God forbid he's a fraud. What message does that send? God forbid this guy's a fraud. He was just a keynote speaker at these young people's graduation.
No, no, no. That's the university's fault.
Okay.
They supposed to do their due diligence.
I think someone worked for the university. This guy knew him.
Okay. Then he said he was born to a single mother who was 24, had 8 kids at the time. He entered the world facing circumstances beyond his control. He suffers with fetal alcohol syndrome. He was diagnosed with cerebral palsy, seizure disorders, severe attention deficit, hyperactivity, and ADHD. Went to live with a foster family. Adopted him at a young age. His mentorship from Arlington, Texas, Mayor Robert Cluck, as well as Maryland's financial advisor.
This guy's lived 10 lives.
He's sponsored by the ADA. Obviously, he's sponsored by the ADA. So maybe they helped him get $100 million plus.
No, this guy, yeah. I don't know.
No, I mean, people's stories, they story. I'm not going to.
What's his real name?
I'm not going to.
Because I know that's not it.
Yeah. I mean, that's his real story. I'm not going to crap on nobody's story. Like, that's the story. But that has nothing to do with the fact of if you're trying to present yourself as this wealthy guy. Now, hopefully it's true. Hopefully it's true because that looks bad for FAMU if not.
Holly, your thoughts?
I mean, I'm listening to this, and I want to know more information about what's really going on with this.
Yeah.
How did this guy get in a position to be able to go on stage to talk if he's not some, you know, they didn't check on him first, you know, to do a background check.
You hope they would have vetted him. You hope they would have vetted him.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm like, I need to find out some more. I'm trying to look it up. So I'm like, I need to find out more because it sounds like a scam.
It sounded like this guy wanted to get his name in the newspaper.
Yeah, that's what I said. I think he knows someone that worked at the university really well. They got him a role as keynote speaker somehow. The university saw all these unbelievably crazy credentials and said, "Oh yeah, we'll let him be the keynote speaker." They didn't do their due diligence, obviously. But the whole story, honestly, the whole story just sounds made up. The whole thing.
Yeah, we're going to have to do some more research on this one, Don.
But think about this, right? When you talk about the wealthiest black people in America, you hear the name Robert Smith.
And, that's the first name you hear.
David Stewart,
yeah.
Who is most unassuming of all.
Yeah.
And Robert Stewart made a donation to Morehouse University. It was a good donation.
And then they came back and did the tax. The IRS came back and investigated him a month later.
Right. but none of which have given $200 million.
Right.
And absolutely not.
That's an insane amount. Okay. That's to assume that he has at least quadrupled
the
that.
The only person that has made a donation like this in modern times has been Jeff Bezos' ex-wife.
Yep.
And she just wanted to throw all his money out the window, which is what she's done. She's given significant money.
She's given half of it away.
A lot to HBCUs. Yeah. A lot to HBCUs, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we have to be, as black people and leaders, I'm not saying I'm a leader, but there's some leaders at these institutions, we have to kind of say, hey, let me get back to you on this and hire people.
They got people that work for the school that do this every day.
Well, we got to look. They could have called me. I got a guy who'd have told you everything, his whole story in 10 minutes. I'm just saying.
Intuition alone would have said no.
No, FAMU is a real school.
Yeah.
They got people there on payroll already that this is their lane.
Yes.
Doesn't mean they're doing it.
But.
No, that's not the point of it. He's saying hire somebody. They don't need to.
$237 million. That's life. You can build another school.
You can change the course of that university.
He should have just built another school, yeah.
You know, there are little things, okay? Let me just say this. Watch this. How did he arrive in Tallahassee? Did he fly in by private jet? And I know you're like, Don, that's pet. No, it ain't.
People that kind of money don't really fly commercial like that.
Did he fly in by private jet? Okay. Did he travel alone? Did he have a staff? People with that kind of money.
People standing up on stage.
He said the article according to you, he got 5 admin assistants.
Yeah, right. Okay, how many people? How many people?
And 7,000 contractors.
How many people flew in with him?
That's the part that stood out to me.
Yeah. You know, I've been in this industry. How many people flew in with him? A guy who's giving you $237 million is going to come with at least two people.
But this guy ain't got a CFO or nobody, though?
No.
At this, so to be able to be in position to kind of, you know, I'm too analytical. That's why I got
that problem. That's why you, yeah.
But you handling this kind of money in some capacity, and according to you, you don't build real companies that were super profitable that made you wealthy, right? Because if you can afford to donate excess of $200 million, you got to be worth a billion.
No, more than that.
I'm just saying, at the minimum.
Right.
Yeah. You give away $200 million.
And you don't have a real executive team. You have no executive team.
Right.
CFO, CIO. Right. All the key things you really need, especially the CFO.
Just me and my five boys.
It's just me and my five admin assistants.
And 7,000
contractors. None of them went to accounting school.
But this is the question. This is the real question that I have. Is it because he was black that they didn't dig deep into who he is?
I thought that would have made
guilty conscience.
I thought that would have influenced them. I think that would have influenced you to research it. I mean, it could sound racist. Yeah. Back,
is it their quote unquote white guilt?
Their white guilt was like.
We'll just believe him.
We'll check each other out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, black folk, we're going to check each other out quicker than we're going to check anybody else out.
Well, it's just amazing to me, right? Because I sent this to people in that industry, right? And it was just amazing how not one of them had ever heard of him. Like, not one. And these are people in the hemp industry. There's a group of guys have a store downtown Sanford. That's what they sell.
That's what they sell.
He started in 2020.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Right.
You're going to scale a business to billions that quickly?
And that industry is already oversaturated.
Right. Exactly.
It's super. You know how many of them companies are closing every day?
Yeah.
A lot of them. The weed industry is falling apart.
Right.
Absolutely.
The actual weed industry is falling apart.
Right. If you ain't in Cali or living in Colorado.
Well, that's like trying to start an Amazon right now.
First of all, I'm going to just go out on.
Oh, God. I already know what he's about to say.
I'm going
to
go out.
You seen the picture?
I'm going to go out on the record right here on the Don Miller Show and say, this guy's a con artist, fam.
He's trying to hold his grin
back.
No, he's about to say something else.
This guy's a con artist, okay?
You're going
to
judge about his stance.
No, I'm judging. He's a con artist, okay? So I'm sorry you guys got like this. I just got a message back as well that nobody in the industry really knows this guy. So
maybe he got his money through other means and he can't really tell y'all.
Okay, well,
he's trying to wash his money through these companies that are obviously not working.
Okay, remember now, Crocker had weed farms in that region.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he was the weed. He had the cultivation business in that region. But the point is, I think it's because he was a black guy. I think he was black, and he probably talked a great game.
Yeah,
I'm just glad they didn't give
and
him
they're
anything.
They're probably just like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah, 200
Oh,
million.
My gosh, we need this guy.
It checks this box, and it checks this box.
Yeah, and he looks a little sus.
I knew that was coming. That's what I was waiting for the other shoe to drop.
He looking a little sus as hell.
That's the shoe I was waiting to drop.
I know what shoe
he
was waiting to drop.
He looked what, Don?
Check your phone.
He does look a little sus.
It's just,
his pole, he need to do some push-ups. That ain't, the proper stance
we
right
there.
We
cannot allow ourselves to be put on blast like this. This guy.
No. You really can't get mad at the guy. You got to get mad at the people he was able to run the con through. Mm-hmm. It's their job to vet.
Okay.
You can't get mad at the gamer.
And what's their take?
They don't know what to say.
No, I mean
right
financially.
But they're not on the hook financially.
No,
but
I mean, are they getting paid to put him out there?
They just look stupid.
Yeah,
But when you're running a major institution, anybody who goes to the podium, especially on commencement day, should be vetted and vetted and vetted twice.
Well, they also didn't vet, Biden before they put him up there, so.
Yeah, but that's a whole nother. At least we can know who he is. We know the history of this guy. We don't know.
This history.
This guy shows up.
He's Googleable.
this guy shows up on the FAMU campus in a 67 Plymouth Dart. It's like, I'm rich, bitch. I got something for y'all. But I think it's a bad look. It's for a bad sure. look. Even just the fact that you have to question the way this all came about
if
is a bad
did
look.
Did your job, it would have never reached the media.
But he was the commencement speaker.
If it would before him taking the stage as a commencement speaker, yeah. if you would have did your proper vetting,
yes.
it would never gotten that far.
Damn. Why do I want to agree with you?
I know you really don't, but it's true.
Oh, it's a fact. You know, it is absolutely a fact. And there's some good people up there at FAMU, some really good people. And I just, it's a bad look, you know.
This might said he don't even look real. His tie wasn't even tied correctly, but he wants us to believe he got 200 mil.
Right.
F-O-H.
It's just because he doesn't have enough employees around him. Man, he only none has of this, five of them.
His structure doesn't make sense. Like, none of this, like I said, now unless he got his money through means he can't really speak of, and he's just washing money.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the only thing I can see, but he don't even look like he part of that life.
The story's outrageous, though.
Okay. You are a web developer. You tell me,
me?
How much that website, how much it looked like that website cost. Right.
Well, first of all, the logo's blurry. I mean, you could have made this in like an hour.
His website.
If you were five.
Somebody just sent me his website. They're like, dude, this guy's website.
There's three pages.
Yes.
Home products, buy hemp wood products.
Right.
There's a Gmail on there.
It don't even have.
Oh, wow. Dyson Farms Holdings at gmail.com.
Right.
A quote.
If this was a real corporation.
This is, I'm start. Yeah, money laundering might actually be
right.
more plausible.
Look, if this was a real corporation.
No, the only thing he laundering is nonsense.
You know, if you pull up his, when I mean, saw.
That picture right there, crazy.
When I went to his website, this is a $400 website, max. Okay. And the contact is Batterson Farms Holding at Gmail. That should be somebody.
You can't
somebody's,
even get a real URL.
Yeah, right. That should be somebody's name at a URL. Nobody
yeah,
caught
yeah.
Listen, if you're listening, reach out to me. I'll do it. Much better job.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll charge you $1,000.
This is
It'll
terrible.
Take me 2 minutes.
This is terrible. He sells organic hemp flooring.
Is that bad? When I look at companies, if you got Gmail at the end, it's like, man,
it's
are
a
you
lack
serious?
Of credibility. Is what it is.
Yeah, you can at least you can email Don at the Don Miller Show. Damn, you know what I mean?
You might as well go back and get a Yahoo.
But y'all got to do better, man.
That would be a flex.
Hotmail.
We can't allow
you got a
hotmail. I'm going to try to interview this guy. When we come out of this break, I'm going to see if I can reach him to interview him.
Let's do it.
This one I'm going to go mute.
This is going to be a random Don Miller reach out interview. We've done these before, right, Holly?
I've loved it.
I'm talking to a friend of mine who actually knows someone who knows him and says, this is what this guy's telling me. He says, Don, I cannot believe FAMU allowed this guy even on their campus.
It might be the literacy problem. No one was able to read his actual resume.
Wow.
And they weren't able to pick up on the fact that it was BS.
Yeah.
So.
But think about it. When you click on his website, he says 72-inch hemp block wood. That's $179. And you click buy now, it says, look, new products coming soon.
I think he built it yesterday.
He don't even have the products. Listen, let's go to break. We come back. I'm going to try to call this man. Y'all stay with us. You're listening to The Don Miller Show.
Back to The Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Dedicate this to Real Rap King. Pull me up some mo. Thank you so much. Welcome back.
I need anybody out there to do me a favor. If y'all got some contacts at Monkey Shoulder, I need a sponsorship deal.
So we can pour him up some more.
Because the amount of business I don't send y'all away, y'all wouldn't even know what I'm done for y'all.
You know, so I want to get back to this conversation. We're getting a lot of hits. A matter of fact, there's some people who think that we are being unfair, but they'll be all right.
Unfair about what?
We're being
Being unfair about, yeah, about what?
About the donation that Mr. This gentleman has given Florida Agriculture and Mechanical. $200 plus million shows up on campus. I got to ask the question.
But it's $200 million in crypto or something, right?
No. It's $200 million in stock.
Okay.
$200 million in stock. That's what they said.
They better go cash that in real quick.
The guy's name is...
You need something to cash in, Holly. They need to stop.
The guy's name is... the guy's name is Gregory Jerami. And let me just say this, guys. It's
Geronimo.
Let me just say this. Can I ask this question, or am I being inappropriate?
What's that?
Could this have happened at a white college?
No. No.
Can a guy show up to a PWI, predominantly white institution?
No.
And say, I'm going to give y'all $237 million. Can I be the speaker?
Nah.
They going to get a deposit at least.
They going to. Well, one, we understand that they get those donations regularly. Certain ones. Right. Right?
Uh-huh.
And they normally get it from the alumni.
Right. From alumni. Right. People with some affiliation.
They're normally in a better financial stability situation.
Yep.
Right? This is able to happen at FAMU. If you understand what's going on at FAMU from a financial standpoint,
mm-hmm.
I think this was a clear sign of desperation, and they lashed on to it because they thought it was like a gift from God, I guess. Their prayers were answered.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody threw out that kind of number, they didn't do the proper vetting to even know if he had the capabilities to do this or not. And that's where it should have started from. Now, I do really hope that this is legit. It doesn't make mathematical sense to me, but I do hope it's legit.
Well, I just think...
Because I think anything, you get that to the whole system, not just to FAMU.
Hello. Please state your name after the tone, and Google Voice will try to connect you.
Don Miller.
Okay. Hello?
Just roll with it, Ollie.
Okay.
This is another red flag. He got it.
Hey, how are you?
Who is this?
This is Greg Jerami. Hello? Okay. I was trying to reach Greg Jerami, the gentleman who donated the money.
Does Bill Gates have Google Voice?
Nobody with $200 million.
Does Rick Ross have Google Voice?
State your name.
Don Miller.
The new things we try on the Don Miller Show.
Okay. Guess he's not going to answer. I was sent the number.
I was going to say, let his voicemail go and see if it really was him.
Oh, great. Bro. Yeah.
It's a Google Voice number, though.
I was sent the phone number to reach him by one of my contacts in Texas. That is his direct number. That's interesting. Thank you so much for sending me that. Give us a call, 321. Well, the Don Miller Show is something different, ain't it?
Wow.
321.
Everybody you want us to call, just let us know.
321-339-1055, the number to dial. We're talking about, this is amazing to me.
So I guess this shit should go on record.
Mm-hmm.
You be out here talking crazy publicly, we find out you can get a phone call. Pull up. They say pull up.
Oh, man. So
your story makes it on Don Miller Show. He may call your ass.
I just got another message. Hey, wait, there's another number. I'm sending you that as well.
But he has Google Voice. Let's be clear. That's a Google Voice.
But he's got $200 million, and he's got Google Voice.
That ain't going to work.
Wow.
Wow.
Is it that easy?
If you got $200, you got Google Voice.
Wow.
Holly, is it that
Touché.
Easy?
Yes.
Is it that easy, wow. Guys? Really? Come on, this is a storied institution of higher learning. One of the greatest, okay? Especially in the HBCU group. How do you guys go out here in your drawers like this? Come on, man. You got this guy speaking at the commencement of several thousand young people who've done their time and went to college and off into the real world. The person at the podium should be inspiring them and preparing them in some type of conversation for what they're about to engage. Yet you go get a guy who has a Google Voice phone number and a $200 website that committed $237 million to you. Come on. See, this is when I get really upset. We got to do better than this. Jay, man, come on, Jay.
What you want me to say?
I almost promise you that gentleman is listening to the show right now.
No, he don't know who I am.
No, he don't know.
No, he don't know.
He probably
picked.
He probably thought it was a federal investigator today by the company. This is Don Miller, federal investigator for
Man, I should have
done a Google.
Security Exchange Commission.
I should have just did it the way I normally do it. Be like, what up, man? But again, this is unfortunate, guys. We have to do better. We have to do better, man. A storied institution like the Florida A&M should not have had this type of situation occur, especially on the campus, man. You can't even check this guy out.
I'm telling you, it was that easy for them because they're desperate.
Wow.
You know what desperation breeds? Complacency.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to find out, man. Hey, I got a lot to get to this afternoon here on the Don Miller Show. Man, Jay Kane, Real Rap Kane, I think you should do a show on this on your platform about how these people got, man.
Oh, yeah, this will be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Different language, but this one.
Definitely different language. I don't know the vetting process. If you're involved with a college or university and you know the vetting process for commencement speakers.
No, but anything that comes in, right, it has to go through one. The legitimacy of it, yeah. The source
gotta
of it.
Gotta be some protocol, right?
No, there's a compliance. There's a whole compliance piece to accepting gifts. There's a whole compliance piece,
mm-hmm.
especially when you're at that level. Right. The legitimacy of it, the credibility of it, like all these things go through a process.
Well, I just want to make an announcement to Bethune-Cookman University. I'm going to give them $100 million next Wednesday. That's the same thing.
That's Don Miller that said that.
Is that the same thing? 100 million, right?
But you're probably closer to giving it to him than do it.
And yours has been recorded.
Yeah, to this guy.
Your statement's been recorded.
Yeah, to this guy, man.
Donald playing.
No, they can't say nothing. Nah. You can make. This guy.
Obviously.
Because apparently ain't no way to charge this guy.
Obviously, wow. There's no repercussions.
None. Somebody from Cookman just texted me. Oh, yeah. Okay. Wow. The commencement speaker at Cookman was Ivory McGregor, global impact leader, Be Good executive director. See, that people are listening to us, and I have no idea who Ivory Gregory is.
Mm-hmm.
But these black colleges, I hate to tell you guys, some of y'all, man, y'all got to do better, man. You know, it's just you want to project. It's just come on, you know, it's unfortunate. Hey, let's head over to the phone lines. Hey, you're on the Don Miller Show. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Drina calling from the beautiful city of Orlando.
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Let me just, you know, I hear you guys talking about commencement speakers. And I have a daughter that just graduated, and I think they chose the wrong commencement speaker for their school.
Really?
This young lady. Now, she's very intelligent, beautiful lady, and I honestly believe she had good intent, but she made her whole commencement speech about Beyonce. She had to say Beyonce name 25 times. She said Beyonce name so many times that her speech was like a tribute to Beyonce, not a tribute to Bethune-Cookman College. Hello, somebody. I don't know what was going on, but it got on my last nerve. And she did it so much that Beyonce's mom reposted her saying, thank you so much for your support. Mm-hmm. But you didn't support these children. Like, I don't understand why for the second year of graduation, Bethune-Cookman waste their money on people that don't care nothing about their students.
Mm. Wow. Okay. So how important to you is a commencement speaker?
It's very important because that's the last voice to their future that's going to help enlighten them on what's to come. Mm. And they should have been impacting those kids and giving them something. It's like a good sermon. When you go to church on Sunday, that good sermon can last you that whole week just to get you through to the next week. Them kids ain't got nothing to get them through other than Beyonce did good, Beyonce did this, Beyonce did that. Clap your hands for Beyonce. Praise Beyonce. That's what that lady did.
Well, she is Beyonce's director of social responsibility. That's her name.
Absolutely. That's her job. She should have been commissioning Beyonce and not Bethune-Cookman College.
Oh wow! So yeah, she's got the same story. She grew up the youngest of five siblings in Section 8 in North Minneapolis, she's the leader of the Beehive, and she loves Beyonce. Beyonce changed her life, changed her existence, changed the air that she breathes.
Beyonce changed the air that she breathes. Gave them $20,000, and who did that help? That only helped probably two children. Oh, I know the fact. It helped probably two kids at Bethune-Cookman University. You ain't do nothing to change Bethune-Cookman University. Mm. So why are we giving a whole tribute to Beyonce at a year when you know these kids that graduated in 2024 were the kids that didn't have a graduation in 2020? Mm. Now, these kids didn't have a graduation. Now they have a chance to have one. You got a poor commencement speaker, a horrible poor commencement speaker that didn't do research about the students and know anything about their struggle and what they had to go through from 2020 to 2024.
Wow. Okay. Well, damn. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you for
welcome.
That.
I'm calming down. Now.
You got anything you want to say to Drina J?
What more can I say?
Thank you so much.
Sorry, Drina. No.
Get that off your chest.
So you say this lady didn't talk about education?
Okay, so she had some highlights. Let me just say that. She said some cute little introductory highlights.
Little anecdotes
here and there. And it was, clap your hands for that. Give a little snap here, a little snap there. Yeah. That's all. But see, snapping. Y'all know I'm a very intellectual person, and I like to hear people talk. Mm. I like to hear what they have to say. Mm-hmm. I want to hear something when they're opening their freaking mouth in front of me. I want to know what
especially
you're
especially on that
and
stage.
All I could hear was womp, 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 Beyonce.
If you like,
womp,
you should have put a ring
womp,
on
Beyonce.
It.
Womp, 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 Beyonce.
Thank
that's
you.
All I heard.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure that the people at that university know how you felt. And I'm sure if you felt like that.
Oh, they heard me because I was in the audience talking to them. Say it, Beyonce, one more time. Say it.
Say one more again. One more game. You're going to lose all your friends.
Disgruntled parent. She's a disgruntled parent. But you're right,
yes,
because those children worked really hard to graduate. And
yes,
that is a HBCU. But why not just, why not have Beyonce? Why you got to send Beyonce's nutsack holder? You know what
right.
I mean? Yeah, I hear you. I'm with you.
Gosh, oh why my. You send the Beyonce person?
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Maybe going forward, and that's a very valid point. I mean, I probably did foot the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with everything those kids endure within that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're looking at it in that scope, I do understand the reason for our frustration.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they should start sending some kind of summary.
No, that's a good point.
Maybe they should send some kind of summary of what they're going to say and what they're going to articulate.
But again, you know, I think the standard at many, I've seen the standard of commencement go down anyway over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But the standard at many of these HBCUs has been, I went to one and I was like, damn, where y'all get her from? She was spent the whole commencement talking about domestic violence and how she was battered. And I was like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Damn, you know, it was just a lot. But I think in our effort, I think there are a lot of people who don't want to do it anymore. You ever did a commencement address?
No.
Is it wrong to say I don't? I graduated twice. I've walked a stage high school and college. I do not remember my commencement speaker. I don't remember who they were.
Well, that means they didn't say nothing worth
I guess
remembering.
Not. They weren't really anybody significant.
And the bottom line,
do you remember any of yours, Jay?
I ain't never had no commencement. Wow.
Hey, how are you here? Jay just said.
What did he say?
Ain't nobody no commencement. What are you talking about?
Okay. Oh, wow.
What did he say?
He never had a commencement. What about when you got pinned and all that? Don't they
pass? No, ain't no commencement. Listen. Congratulations, go back to work. What are you talking about? Ain't no commencement, ain't no ceremony.
Man. Give us a call, you guys. Let me just say this. I've been to one. I've done a commencement. Mm. I think they're a waste of time. I'm at that point right now. They're a waste of time. It's a bunch of pomp and circumstances. It's a total waste of time. And but if you're gonna have somebody that can the kids can identify with.
No, I think that's the key part. And what Stedman said is very profound. When you hear him say he's been to two, he don't remember who the commencement speakers were. That's because they ain't say anything worth remembering. You know, so that's
to my kids too, and I don't remember who their speakers were.
I mean, but that's a talk about a red flag.
Yeah. Okay. Well, have you been to a commencement, Lil Sean?
No, I'm not Catholic.
No, the commencement.
Oh.
Not communion, dummy.
Come on, man.
Hey, welcome to the show. Little Sean is
What's
in the
up,
studio.
Guys?
You guys may remember Little Sean back in the day in the mornings. He was on the radio for a long ass time.
Yes, sir.
What was the name of your show back in the day?
Obie and Little Sean Morning Show.
Yeah. Was Obie white?
No, he's Spanish.
Yeah, they let two Puerto Ricans get on the radio.
He white on the inside a little bit.
Huh?
He still does country. He still does. He does country radio, man. He's one of the coolest humans you've ever come across.
Puerto Rican country music singer.
No, country music morning show.
Really?
Radio host. Yeah.
Yeah. Right now.
Yeah.
He changed his name.
No. His name's still Obie.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you on the Wolf?
Nah, K.
Okay. I love y'all side conversations.
Yeah. Cool dude, man. Funny. Super funny.
Anyway, I want to turn the corner. I just
damn, Holly.
It's a Don Miller show, guys. Come on.
They was on the stoop. They was on the stoop or something.
What you been doing? What you been doing?
Yeah.
Hey, man, how long you been out?
Yeah.
So what you going to do next, man?
Oh, man.
Hey, yo, I am too. He ain't bad, man. You know, but he won't want you to get a job, though.
He likes those cigars you like. You know those cigars, the Montverdes.
The Montverdes. Oh, man. Listen, Stedman, we got any open mics over there? Stedman, like, yeah, we got some open mics. I've been over looking out the window, though. Give us a call, 321-339-1055 is the number to dial.
You're so petty, man.
Actually, I'm not, but I want everybody to know, listen, starting next week, May 13th, we're going to be rolling out a cash contest here at Florida Man Radio with our friends at Anajar and Levine. This is going to be exclusive to the Orlando metro area. $250 a day will be given away. Central Florida winner can take home $250 courtesy of Anajar and Levine, accident attorneys. Stay tuned for more information. You're going to hear Bubba say something on the Bubba Show in the morning, and that word will be repeated at some point during the day, which will allow you to reach out to try to grab this $250. Now, a lot of people say they're giving away $1,000 a day around these stations, around these towns, but if you split $1,000 around 100 stations, 800 stations, that's $2, $1.74.
Yeah, no, they usually do it for like an 800 number, so they have it's like a national contest.
Yeah, it's
so
a national.
Every radio station they own does the same thing, so that's why they have to tell their listeners, make sure you answer the numbers, 1-800 number. Don't think it's spam, because most listeners are like, nope.
Really? So they got to call you and give you that money?
They call the person, but they call you from a 1-800 number, like the main office, whoever's doing that.
And think about who, and guess what? See, that's the scam to this, because how many people going to answer a random-ass 1-800 number?
Right.
Huh?
Yeah, nobody.
Wow. Then you're talking about, well, you lost your 1,000, you didn't pick up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it said Allied Amalgamated Collections. You know what I mean?
This may be spam.
Right. So that's how they do it, huh? Oh, so they really, some days, they don't even get 1,000 away.
No, they give 1,000 away, but it doesn't always go to somebody in your city.
Well, being like Paducah, Kentucky.
Yeah.
Wherever
their markets are. And then they celebrate when somebody's in their city. They're like, oh, my God, we got a winner this morning.
Yeah, in Pine Hills.
Should be every day.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead. Play the open mics.
What's going on, Dom? It's your boy Omar, the Puerto Rican immigrant. Man, you could always get out of that slump, man. I mean, you want your vocabulary to expand. You want your education to expand, even as an adult. Just surround yourself around business people, educated people. I always said every black person, every Puerto Rican person needs a white friend that's educated, that's rich, that's business-oriented. Elon Musk says surround yourself around business people, educated people, and people that talk like that.
He playing a show in the background. Yeah. That's all I was hearing was the show.
Graduation this past graduation. My son graduated. So I was there when this guy donated the money. And he was right there with the FAMU president. And they verified the money was already in the bank. Apparently, this guy did the lawn service, turned it into a property management service. He got with some farmers. They got a hemp farm, and he's got partners, and, yeah, the money's real.
Hold on. Pause it right there. So he's saying the money's real. The guy just called us saying the money's real.
He said it was there.
That the money was in the bank. But I can tell you that the people I'm speaking with that's affiliated with the university are saying not necessarily. So I know you probably a FAMU graduate and you want to believe what's going on, but I can tell you that FAMU does not have $237 million right now. I don't care what they tell you. They don't have $237 million in the bank. Please know this, or you wouldn't have all these articles. If you Google it right now, there's 20 articles. National publications are writing, is this a scam? So if they had the money, they would be coming out with a press conference from Tallahassee saying we have received all funds and this is not a scam. There are 37 articles right now that saying this looks out like a scam. So thank you so much. I appreciate that. If you want to holler at me, I would love for you to call us and tell us how the graduation went.
How long ago was this?
This was Saturday.
And he should have a building named after him today.
Yeah, this is Saturday.
So I'm a building, the gym.
How did speech go? I want to hear about the guy's speech. He got a lawn service. He sold it. Then he went to property management and he amassed great wealth. I would love to hear about the speech. So if you can give us a call, 321-339-1055. I'd love to hear great stories like that.
Yeah. Well, he'd had a building renamed after him immediately.
Yeah.
At least an Iverson statue.
What? Even the mini statue? Don't do that. Don't do that. That's bad.
That was good, though.
That was good, though. That's messed up.
you know, it's
really, did my man dirty.
It gets to a point, guys, where it's just unfortunate. I think you were right, Jay. We're not knocking this guy, nor are
no.
We...
I hope it's true. I hope it really comes to fruition. Yeah, I really do,
man. But
because then you got a degree from FAM. If this is a scam, your degree from FAM ain't gonna be worth nothing.
Well, they say they did the commencement. Was that the last open mic? No. Okay, let's go.
Hey y'all, Lando again for Walton Beach here. Yeah, the commencement thing. When I graduated in '77. It was a student that was the valedictorian always. And usually they had a criteria, three or four met it. And then, you know, the senior class voted on it. It was, you know, supposed to be a hidden vote type of thing. But that's how it was selected. And that's what it should be. It should be a student that went through the same 4 years that the class did. Not some alien guest speaker.
Muffins here. Didn't go to my high school or college graduation. I don't give a damn those commencement speakers have to say.
All right, and that's it.
But that's interesting because the caller said the guy was on the stage with the president and they said the money was in the bank. Well, I can tell you right now, they're saying
they show him the account.
They saying the money ain't in the bank right now. Look, I got a couple of things I want to touch on. There's a horrible story going on in Central Florida right now.
Oh, yeah.
That is chilling and it speaks volumes to the challenges that many people are facing in this country today, one being insurance and how and what has to be done just for people to afford good insurance medical coverage. There's a story of a family that was tragically struck. The child was lost. The husband was rendered pretty much immobile, brain damage due to a drunk driver. Or
she was impaired to some capacity.
Yeah. And now the wife, Jay, mm-hmm. You have a story. The wife of this man has now has to move toward divorce.
No, she has to go to divorce.
Just to be able for him to be cared for. And it's just a horrible story that it could get to this. Tell us a little bit about
it. So, as you said, the family was struck by this person that was impaired, some level of narcotic, I believe. I don't even think it was alcohol. I think it was like meth or something. Mm-hmm. And the child tragically died. The husband and wife both were considered disabled. Mm-hmm. Just the husband is more far off than the wife is. Mm-hmm. Because their disability payments exceed $5,000 a month, they don't qualify for subsidized assistance.
Okay.
In order for the husband to get the proper care that he needs, the wife has to divorce him. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's tragic in itself. She lost a kid and a husband, I mean, and within 5 years, when you really think about this, for what she has to do. And going as far as saying that the husband needs to move closer to where his actual friends, his childhood friends were, because his memory is bad.
He's missing 10 years.
Yeah, right. So
I want to play this. We got to go to break. When we come back, I want to talk about this. I want to play a clip. This is a tragic, tragic story because they were married in the last 10 years, all Correct. Of which has been wiped out.
Correct.
You're listening to The Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Back to The Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
I will love him for the rest of my life. But the man that remains physically here now is not him.
This is a gut-wrenching story. Her husband suffered a traumatic brain injury in a crash that killed their little girl.
She says that he doesn't remember their little girl or marrying her.
Their daughter, Adeline, was just 17 months old when she died on a family bike ride near their home. This happened in 2019. The intoxicated driver responsible for that crash, Shona Wallace, died last month before she could be sentenced. Today, Shannon Ziza only sat down with Channel 9 as her legal battle appears to be ending, but she told our Nick Papantonis the decisions she has to make are getting harder and harder.
There's about a 10-year gap prior to the crash that's missing. The most unfortunate part of that is that in that 10 years is when I met him.
Shannon Ziza says she's still trying to figure out what lays before her. Memories of her 17-month-old daughter, Adeline, still fresh in her mind, as well as memories of the intoxicated driver that took Adeline's life and left Ziza's husband needing lifelong medical care. There's also the ongoing pain of a legal system that is now forcing her into divorce.
I will never be okay with the fact that I have to get divorced because it's the only way for him to get the care he needs.
Ziza says her next task is changing the law so no other family discovers her pain. She's working with prosecutors to change some legal definitions to hold addicts to tougher standards. Next will be a push to drug test people while they're on bond.
Thank you so much, everybody. Now, let me just say this. This is tragic. This is painful. Tragic accident from its onset. No, it should not come to this. So many holes in the system. And I understand what she has to do. And I think, I hope the people around her, Jay, are going to embrace her and help her through this process. It's a difficult process. But again, there is a place in this where he don't remember. Don't remember the child. Don't remember the incident. And he still needs to be cared for. And I've been reading a lot of people, the comments on this. People are terrible people, some of them. And it's just a very challenging. I also want to say to a strong, strong woman, a wonderful black woman that I love dearly, who took a position that I believe was the absolute right position early on in her career on the bench, Judge Donna Gerner. They wanted Judge Gerner, as you know, Jay, to
vacate.
Yes,
the guilty verdict.
And she was like, "Y'all got me. I want to say the
chopped
way.
And screwed."
Yeah, and so this was a very, you know, it's amazing. People don't understand judges are human too.
Yeah,
and
a female judge. Mm-hmm. You want her? To, A black female judge?
And a brand new one.
You want her to do what?
Yeah, and a brand new one. That was just, first of all, I was disrespectful to come at her like that.
No, absolutely.
There was a level of disrespect that I'm not knocking the prosecution.
I am.
You know, okay?
I am.
I don't even know who came at her like that, right?
Okay. No, it was the defense. It wasn't a prosecution team. It was her defense team.
Yeah, just get out of here, right? Get out of here. Hell no, okay? You sent this her in absentia. Like, yeah, I'm just going ahead and give her 100 more just in case she get a, you know what I mean?
Just because they find a way to bring her back.
Yeah, man. So, again, this is a very tragic situation. The system has a lot of holes in it, right?
What's baffling to me is that this woman is forced. I mean, like I said, the woman lost all the way around the boy. She lost a child, now she lost her husband.
Right.
And it's only due to the fact, before I lost her husband, it's due to the fact that he can't receive adequate medical care if they're married.
Right.
But yeah, y'all giving medical care to goddamn migrants.
Illegal migrants. Right.
And somewhere here, you want me to, what?
Right.
You got $900 billion to send across the pond.
Right. Right.
But wow. you can't fix this broken medical system. I mean, when you look at America's infrastructure, there is not a major component that's not severely broken.
Right. You're right.
But you want to keep yelling, go vote. No, this is the conflict I have, though. This is why I don't care about the blue and red and all this other nonsense. This is why I don't care. Because the people that are really impacted by the system that y'all tell them to go vote for, none of that helps that part that they're in. None of it.
A lot of people don't even trust the vote now.
What does it do? We're witnessing. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the criminal justice system, whether it's the healthcare system, whether it's the financial system, the housing market. Like, we can talk about this all day. Mm-hmm. What part of the system is not broken?
But when you look at it, you know, just the other day, the Biden administration says 100,000 new migrants are expected and accepted into Obamacare next year.
Any right? voters?
So you're going to give illegal immigrants free health care in this country, but this lady who has been hit, lost it all, quite frankly.
It's a nonsense system, man.
It makes no sense. It rubs you the wrong way, and the money that we're sending abroad,
that just amplifies it.
Just think about it. What would it cost to make sure that this gentleman had adequate health care, right? What would it cost? Wouldn't cost $100 billion, right? Wouldn't cost $100 billion. We're sending this money out of our country, and this lady probably works her butt off. I'm sure the gentleman worked hard. They were building a family. And this crackhead-ass hoe.
Life changed overnight. Not to a fault of your own.
Crackhead-ass, dope-fiend-ass hoe.
Wow.
She decides she wants to get high.
Say it with your chest.
And hurt somebody, right? Come on. And then in her demise, they want the judge to look the other way. No, hell no. You guilty with your dead ass. For real.
Multiple life sentences, death sentences.
It bothers me. Y'all know how emotional I get about ridiculousness, right?
This is at the top of it.
Huh?
This is at the top of it.
it's we don't have the money, but we have the money.
Yeah.
We don't have the money, but we have the money.
We've been talking about this all day.
Huh?
Well, we ain't got the money. We got the money.
We got the money, right? You know, nobody sneaking in this country should be afforded free health care.
Well, they really sneaking? Because we took that terminology out.
They ain't sneaking. They just got the door open. It's just unfortunate, and this is a tragic story. They say this lady is going to work hard from what it understands, the lady who did this was already on bond and not being drug tested.
Yep. Mm.
So she says she wants to move toward.
Probably driving, too.
Yeah. They want to move toward people on bond for drug offenses to continually be drug tested. That makes sense to me.
I'm amazed
that it ain't already like this.
I mean, especially if you killed somebody while being on something. I mean, I think that'd be...
Right. And she remained on bond. And I'm like, I'm saying to myself, who's your lawyer?
Hold on. So when she struck this family, she was out on bond?
Yeah.
Probably for DWI, something like that, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Right. Got you. Again.
Yeah, it makes sense.
A broken system.
It makes sense.
If you out on bond, you should go to, you should be tested every day.
No, why would they do that?
Or at least have that contraption in the vehicle, you know.
Why would they do that?
And then people stand outside their car asking somebody, can you get my car started?
I mean, why would they do that? I've been drinking too. Y'all want them to do the right thing?
That would be the right thing.
So that's what you want them to do, the right thing?
I would like them. I would actually.
Man, like I was told as a kid, when you wrong, stay wrong.
What?
When you wrong, stay wrong.
You know, it's just amazing. I'm struggling with what I'm seeing. I want to definitely support what I'm going to get behind this lady's push to I got to get behind it. I got some people reaching out to her. It's just a tragic situation.
She has to get a divorce so her husband can get the adequate medical care that he needs to treat something that was not a fault of his own.
Right.
By somebody that was out on bond, allowed to run reckless and do what they did in the first place to get put on bond.
Right.
She should just...
But the world we live in...
I said it makes sense, Holly.
She should just go ahead and get a trip to Mexico.
It makes zero sense.
And then come back across the border with him, right? Just with the immigrants, and then say his name's Jose.
And then they get covered.
And then, bam, and he's covered.
Or he covered.
You know what I'm saying?
Or he covered.
Or say his name is, you know, from any other country. Yeah, I'm just picking Jose. No, but they're coming from every country.
Yeah, I got you.
So, I you know, it's just unfortunate. And it's really, really horrible. I just want people also, if you out here operating a motor vehicle, please have the adequate coverage, you know, because... coverage for you in case that other
uninsured motorist coverage.
Yeah, especially that.
Because there are people out here who are driving today. A friend of mine, Jay, you know our state trooper buddies.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me, and he works from Orlando all the way into Volusia County on I-4. He said it's amazing how many people pull over that have no insurance.
No, it's not.
Like none, zero, like zilch, no insurance. Oftentimes, no driver's license. Oftentimes, just no English. And, like, how do you get a car? But you can buy a car without a driver's license.
But you can be illegal in some places and get a driver's license.
Absolutely.
So,
and not even know the rules of the road here.
Correct.
You know, on the wrong side.
Correct. No, really. You know, it's just be careful out there. You know, it's just amazing how often we see situations like this, and this lady's day changed, her life changed in a split second.
No fault of her own, though. That's the key part.
right, yeah. Okay, guys, let's turn the corner on this conversation. Joe Biden went to the sit-down interview the other day. Stedman, did you see this one? I got to play this one. I've been trying to come in here recently. Have a good conversation, man. So, Joe Biden had a sit-down interview. Now, many of us are out here in this community, guys. We out here. We on the street. Lil Sean on the street. Holly Holloman can look out his window in the black neighborhood that he lives in, the affluent black neighborhood. Look out your window. Look to the left, Holly, in the affluent black neighborhood. What yard signs do you see in your neighborhood, Holly?
What type of what?
Yard signs do you see in your affluent black neighborhood?
Well, I'm kind of at a point where I'm in the house, bro. You know,
you told us the other day that you see more Trump signs.
Well, I mean, when you ride through, you definitely see them. And my neighborhood is primarily black.
Right.
It is primarily black, and it's a big neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And they're all through the neighborhood.
My point is this, right? The games that are being played is just getting to a point right now where it's just draining, right? So
obvious.
There was a sit-down interview the other day. I don't know how they get Joe Biden to sit down. you got it? I don't know how they get Joe Biden to sit down. So they sat Joe Biden down the other day. Mm-hmm. It just baffles me. Makes me want to drink. And
That's the reason you're looking for?
Yeah, that's the reason.
Was it the real Joe Biden or was it the duplicate Joe Biden?
It might have been
one of them.
Play the clips, Demi.
Now, Mr. President, that voters by a wide margin trust Trump more on the economy. They say that in polls. And part of the reason for that may be the numbers. And you're aware of many of these, of course. The cost of buying a home in the United States is double what it was when you look at your monthly costs from before the pandemic. Real income, when you account for inflation, is actually down since you took office. Economic growth last week, far short of expectations. Consumer confidence, maybe no surprise, is near a two-year low. With less than 6 months to go to Election Day, are you worried that you're running out of time to turn that around?
We've already turned around. Look at the Michigan survey. For 65% of American people think they're in good shape economically. They think the nation's not in good shape, but they're personally in good shape. The polling data has been wrong all along.
It's also true right now.
Stop.
Look at the Michigan. Look.
Joe.
Have you met Satchel Paige?
Jay.
He said they personally think they 65% think they're in good shape, but think the country isn't. That's a little confusing.
Let me just ask you.
I don't know what y'all doing in D.C., but I'm fine.
Whoever believes these polls anyways?
In a recent poll, it says the 67% of people agree with.
No. Listen to me.
Okay, yeah, thanks.
We walking up and down the street. If you think 65% of people, Jay.
I don't know where he got that number from.
He's Ash.
Where you get that number from?
The Calabasas? I don't know. Maybe
where you get that number from?
Maybe he's walking around Calabasas.
It's like
Martha's Vineyard or something.
Come on, dude. And this is my problem with the bitch ass media. They won't take him to task.
Why are you so angry?
But they won't take him. She know that's a lie. She could easily say, where'd you get that number from?
He said Michigan.
No, man, come on.
He said it Michigan.
It's Biden talking. Everybody knows.
Come on, but it ain't cool, guys. Where'd he get that number from, Joe?
I don't know.
Joe, if you go, if we go this evening and ask 10 people.
It ain't going to be 6.5 people.
6.5? How many, what you think?
No, I'm saying it's not going to be. That's how you get the 65%.
I might be.
That's how you get, got to be 6.5 out of 10 to get the 65%.
Six people.
I don't know.
You're not going
to
get there. That's what
I don't know if you get to two. I can't tell you two people that I know, with or without capital, that'll say nothing to see here.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Even people with money
because they took losses.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Right? So to go to a microphone and say that more than half of the American people believe there's nothing to see here. And nobody said, hey, hold on, Mr. President, I might lose my job when I ask you this question. Where'd you get that number from? Throw him off. Ask questions. There are no people.
That's not in my notes.
They don't answer questions. Once he says, look, that means he's going a different direction.
No, ma'am. Come on. Who are these people?
Look. You know, Trump's still on trial.
Right.
This is not in my notes. Where I got them numbers from is not in my notes. They didn't give me that data.
It's arrogant. It's disrespectful to the American people. It's a blatant lie.
It's disingenuous.
It's totally disingenuous.
Now the new thing is that they're telling him and they're all proud that his speeches are going to be shorter. And all of his followers are like, well, yes, I agree with this because now the president could get right and be concise and be, and be a little more clear when speaking to the American audience. Like, no, you just don't want him to ramble on because you know what happens after he's talking for 37 seconds.
Anything past the second cue card is over.
It's a wrap.
It's crazy to me, man. This old ass man, we should be ashamed of ourselves.
It's your fault.
This is an unwell. This man is unwell, man.
I'm gonna call the ADA on you. I'm gonna call the ADA on his handlers,
and I'm gonna call the VA on you and tell them I saw you running.
421.
That's the Veterans Administration. Okay, for those who don't know, I saw JK running down I-4 with a backpack on and a Benjamin Hedges menthol light in his mouth. Oh man,
they gonna do nothing but put me in the middle wall.
Yeah, be running crazy down I-4 with a Benjamin Hedges in a backpack.
Should be covered by the VA.
It's really unfortunate that we are in times like this, and there's
But who's handling this guy? That's really a problem, though. Who is responsible for handling this guy?
But they're just the actors. Everybody knows this.
No, I'm talking about a guy who has caretakers. Maybe that's a word I should use.
It should be his wife.
Who has caregivers?
Should be his wife.
Should be his family. Yeah. Yeah, should be
like
his family.
Like no, because he's going out bad, and they're just letting him crash in public. But yeah, where's the people at that
he
says
crashed a long time ago? Now they just
I'm just saying in public though, like
it.
It's like, yeah. Hey, Papa ain't good today. He can't get a speech today. Camilla, go wake Camilla up. Go wake Camilla up now. Yeah. And I'm just saying for real though.
And the thing that gets me is that it's not being addressed.
That's what I'm saying. Who is caregivers?
But yeah. It goes to the fact that never before we have disagreed on people running for office before. It's the history of the American presidency.
And we have disagreement now. Huh? Well, the whole country in disagreement now.
Okay, right. But at least both candidates, at least, could have a cognitive, you know what I mean? It's like this, Joe Biden said, I'll debate Trump.
Oh, no.
I can't wait. We're going to get some monkey shoulder. How long is that going to last? Wow.
Yeah, that's going to be a good night.
Huh?
That's going to be a good night.
Anything for anybody.
When you drink a monkey shoulder, smoking a cigar, watching that debauchery? Absolutely.
You're
going
to be drunk in the first 5 minutes.
Let me tell you something, Sonny.
That's going to be the night that Americans realize that we are in trouble.
I don't think it's going to get to it.
That's when the rest of the world going to see our true vulnerabilities.
And which they see now.
Oh, no, it's going to be on a whole other scale.
Okay, which they see now. And I just read a great piece the other day. I think I sent it to Stedman about, can you imagine the world? I don't think people understand how much money comes into this country from an investment standpoint from out of this country.
Mm-hmm.
A gigantic amount, huge amount. When we come out of this break, I want to talk about that. We'll be back in a moment.
Back to the Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Here you go, Don. Playing something normal.
I'll just be trying new stuff.
Here we go.
Something that I want to say.
It's Big Freddy.
Oh, yeah. But words sometimes get in the way.
That was a pause, by the way.
This was a good song, wasn't it?
But that was a pause.
I just want to show my feelings for you.
This right before he became Freda Jackson.
Gosh almighty.
Thank you so much, everybody. Welcome back. Holly, that's Freda Jackson.
That's what you play when you bring the girl in the house.
Yeah, man.
Nice and smooth music.
We were at a party in Chicago at the Click, and Freddie Jackson was there. I'll never forget this. And Freddie hit on a friend of ours.
A dude?
Yeah.
Gosh almighty.
Remember, Holly? Hey,
that's the way he said it. That don't sound right.
No. He walked right up to him.
You are my daddy.
He walked right up to him.
I am a boy, Damian.
He walked right up to him and said, "You so big." I was like, damn,
gosh,
Freddie.
Oh my.
Freddie Jackson. Oh, wow. Freddie Jackson was, is he still alive?
Yeah, he's still somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Gosh, oh my, I can't even drink the rest of this.
What Freddie Jackson do?
Yeah, Freddie Jackson hit on our friend. Our friend was a big guy, right?
Well,
Freddie ran right up to him, all up in his space. You so big.
Hey, biggins need love, too.
Yeah, man. I'm like, boy, Freddie Jackson, y'all better get Freddie Jackson up. Somebody going to whoop Freddie's ass. We in the hood.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Freddie, you done got beat up.
Yeah, Brad. Like, but again.
You go hit on, Freddie. Go on.
You know, I want to talk about real quick.
Gosh almighty.
The other day, Donald Trump made a statement that said that he would gladly go to jail to protect the Constitution. I don't know if you guys
saw that.
Okay. And I thought it was interesting. I thought it was an interesting statement. But then I hear one of the top economists in America in an interview. Let's listen to this.
slowing quite considerably. You had 4.9% growth in the third quarter of last year. Now we're down to 1.6% in the first quarter. Do you expect it to continue to decline?
No, I think it'll stay about where it is right now. Mm-hmm. But the big risk, the outlook for me is something I've never seen before. That I really think if you look at the case in New York, that the judge is being so, you know, undemocratic, unconstitutional in his rulings against President Trump. It really looks like there's a conspiracy to put him in jail, to put him behind bars. And if President Trump is in chains going to Rikers Island, then, like, would you want to buy a U.S. Treasury the next day? The thing that I'm really worried about short-term risk for the economy, is that the Democrats are serious in this lawfare. And if they actually succeed, then imagine, it's like we become a banana republic the moment they take them to Rikers. And I just can't imagine what happens to Treasury markets that day.
Wow. Okay, now stop it right here. This is not a Trump guy saying this. Okay? This is not a Trump guy. I'm saying this guy saying.
I get the part about the Treasury part. Uh-huh. The first part I don't get.
Okay.
Well, because that was any regular person mm-hmm. that was in could tip the court that many times, they'd have been in jail.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, that's two separate. I can separate and compartmentalize the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you want to talk about what it does to the economy part? I got that. Okay. I'm agreeing
with
that.
Could you guys give me a quick synopsis of that?
Oh, he can't hear it.
Okay. One of the leading economists pretty much said, if you put Donald Trump in jail, the effect on the American economy and outside people buying treasury bonds from abroad, the effect talked about the growth clip right
investing
right now.
In America, pretty right. much.
Yeah, which is huge. That would fall off significantly. Do you agree with that?
No. Yeah, I get that part. I just don't agree, but the part the judge being unconstitutional, I don't agree with that part. Because
mm-hmm.
like I said, if that was me, my black behind have been in jail a long time ago. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't even got bond for the charges. Let's keep it all the way real. But
which charges?
For this New York case.
Okay, what's the charges?
The bribery case, right?
With the prostitute?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. So, but I could still compartmentalize the two. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think the first part was relevant to what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
I think ultimately when you're saying it would destabilize America's position, I do agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that has a lot of legs to it. I don't think the man ever going to go to jail. I think people are worried about something that I don't foresee happening on any real level. But I do think, like, for the last, and it didn't just start with Biden. I think for the last 8 years or so, America has been a mockery.
Mm-hmm.
Just being honest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you had people that haven't overtly come out and say that. Granted, mm-hmm. but I've been across them ponds mm-hmm. when certain presidents have been in office mm-hmm. and heard how people felt about America because of that president.
Mm-hmm. Black or white?
Black or white, absolutely.
Okay.
So wow. This didn't just start. And this is the part of the conversation I hate mm-hmm. where people say, no, you go back, you look at the timeline of things, it predates Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it predates Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not scale our viewpoints to fit a narrative.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to open the conversation, let's tell the truth about the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a lost art today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that makes me
telling
disconnect.
Telling the truth about the conversation.
You know, and it's interesting you say this because I talked to many of my friends who lived abroad during the Obama administration. And there was this feeling that people outside of the country loved Obama.
Not to the scale people would think.
No.
No.
No. Yeah. And it was, and again, when you understand how
I got more love as a black man overseas than Obama.
Actually, yes. Right. Okay.
Because, being honest.
Because they knew.
Because they didn't view him as a black man.
Right. Absolutely. And that's the conversation. They never saw, especially in the African countries.
No, they never viewed
they
him as a black man.
They wanted nothing to do with him.
Correct.
Because they felt like he was a pawn.
Man, I think the mockery of America presidents go back to Bush Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was on the level that people would probably be surprised because
mm-hmm.
I was over there for all of that era.
Mm-hmm.
So this is when I first started hearing the rhetoric of what people felt about the American president,
mm-hmm.
Bush Jr.
Wow.
And it never stopped since.
Right.
So it's not a Biden thing. It's not a Trump thing. It goes back 20 years.
But it's funny you say that because I really wanted to know from some friends of mine abroad when Obama, they just moved back here.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that the disdain that they had for Obama in Africa, which shocked me. And And I was trying to understand why, but then I saw what you said.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't view him.
No, they didn't view him as a black man.
No, not at all.
Go ahead. You know how it is with the media here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you get on the Oprah show. Yeah, and then you get, you know, it's like, you know, they a lot of people here in the United States, you feel and you see that they like to be told what to think. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're seeing now. A lot of these people are waking up. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's why I kill education. That's why you can kill education.
Right.
Y'all going to do what we tell y'all to do anyway.
Right. Yeah, put it on Oprah, who's the leader. Right.
Oprah did the Homer after the whole
She's a black woman.
Thing, right?
Yeah.
She's a black woman.
Into the bushes.
So I'm just saying from the optic standpoint of opposing it,
mm-hmm.
it's a softer landing if she delivers it.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even any of the black entertainers.
No, but especially Oprah. Yeah. Oprah's wholesome. That's what she's always represented, wholesome.
Yeah. Yep. She's had the same boyfriend for 42 years.
The same girlfriend for 50.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no, no. That's real talk. For real. No, for real. She's had the same boyfriend and girlfriend as long forever, you know? Forever. Let me tell you something. This is what, that's an interesting point, right? Here's a lady.
Give away cars that nobody can keep because they can't pay the taxes on them.
Here's a lady, right, that's been held in such high esteem, has been the voice for so many years, right, who has talked to people. She's had shows about relationships and marriage.
She is the epitome of middle class America, or what she's supposed to represent, even though she ain't seen middle class America in a long time.
But
that's what she's supposed to represent.
But they listen to her.
Correct.
And they hang on her words, and they read books because she says it's a good book to read.
Correct.
And she's never had a husband.
Nah.
And I've known Stedman. How old am I? I've known Stedman 42 years. I've known Oprah 40 years, at least. Well, maybe, 30-some years. Way over 35. And I remember Oprah's boyfriend, my buddy, she dated before Stedman. His name was Otis Wilson. Played for the Chicago Bears.
Otis Redding? No, my boy.
Otis Wilson. He was a linebacker. Okay?
Yeah.
And
I didn't know that, Don.
Yeah. Barbara Bates introduced him. You remember Barbara, Holly?
Yeah.
But
you should make the clothes.
She still makes the clothes, yeah. And
yeah.
Otis and Oprah's had props. I still believe Stedman's a prop. You know what I mean?
You've never seen Oprah out on a date.
Not me.
In 50 years, you've never seen her out
but how do
no
you,
paparazzi corner at a dinner table? I'm just saying.
This is the point, right? You're right. Whatever she says.
She is representing middle class America.
And listen, she had white.
Well over 30 years.
She had white women on lock.
Middle class white women. That's what I'm saying. She's had that on lock.
She had them.
Since the 90s.
What? Man, in middle America for
sure. She has had that.
Man.
So anything Oprah says, that's why is revered.
Right.
She got that mean auntie look, like she pinch you, like she be pinching.
But she ain't had no husband. You can't tell me about marriage. You ain't got no husband.
She ain't pinching no babies nowhere.
You ain't gonna tell me about marriage if you ain't got a husband.
She ain't pinching no babies.
But I'm telling
not even those African babies that she supposed to help. Never mind. God, there I go again.
The point is this, right? Again, all you need is somebody to speak on something, and I think that's in the media, like you just said, Sean. The people that look into this country
mm-hmm.
have a different view, totally.
They know the hypocrisy of America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know what I mean. When America's problem is, and this is on the international stage,
mm-hmm.
and I'm telling you what I know, not what I think.
Mm-hmm.
America's problem is America want to be the police force of the world. They want.
But
to
you
get,
were you were one of those policemen for 20 plus years.
No. This is what I
yes,
mean.
Yes, you were.
Quiet, man.
Okay. All right, I'm just saying.
You know, I can't hit an old person. But for a while, it's what their ethics should look like. That's what I mean by
okay.
What your ethics should look like.
Okay.
How you should govern your people.
Mm-hmm.
What laws and rules you should put in place.
Right.
Whereas, like, America, y'all been holding these people bondage for over 200 years.
Right.
How can you come over here and tell us what we're doing is wrong?
Right.
So people can't even reconcile that basic part of the conversation,
mm-hmm.
right? And then quite naturally, everybody watches the news and things that play out on the news. It's like, that's what I'm telling you. I'm overseas. They like, man, you good here? I think that's the safest I've ever felt in my life is walking around Europe.
Really?
No firearms, no nothing.
Wow.
Just out having a great time, enjoying life. Mm. And they looking like, black man, like, come on, come over here. Come over here with us. We're going to party. Like, we're going to have fun.
Awesome.
Right?
And your favorite place you landed?
It depends on what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay.
That's a loaded question.
You know, it's interesting.
Anyone ask me that with my wife in the studio, you out of pocket, man.
Don't sod him up.
Wasn't Thailand.
He sod up. No, he definitely ain't go to Thailand. No, he go to Thailand, he can't be my friend no more. Man. The only thing you go to Thailand.
Thailand got that black syphilis. I don't want to Thailand.
What's it called?
Oh, wow.
Black syphilis.
What? Really?
Absolutely. Oh, you don't know the history of them, huh?
I don't even want to.
Why would they call it black? That's racist.
It's like a Marvel
show. Yeah, it's racist. Black on but that.
Yeah,
it.
Right, Holly.
But what I took from it, it do damage to you another level that regular syphilis don't. So,
you know, I want to.
They could have called it Tuskegee.
I wasn't good.
That was messed up.
I want to touch on something really quickly that I find really interesting. I remember. One of my African friends, good guy, lived in Ghana, passed away. He lived here. He's a doctor for 30 years here before he went back to Ghana. And he hated Obama. And I kept saying, why do you hate him so much? And he was like, because you don't understand
what he... They treat him as a sellout, man.
He said, you don't understand what he represents yet. Mm-hmm. He always said this to me. Mm-hmm. You don't understand what he represents yet. So he had moved back to Ghana, and he had convinced me, you got to get this thing called WhatsApp. I didn't know what WhatsApp was. So that's how we communicated on WhatsApp, right? Mm-hmm. And when, I don't know who they sent to Africa to push LGBT.
Kamala Harris.
Okay. Under Obama?
Oh, under Obama.
Who did Obama? Obama sent somebody to Africa.
Under Biden is okay. Kamala Harris. Under Biden.
And they sent somebody, and they said, don't come back here. Then they sent the message that Obama was not welcome on the African continent. No, for real.
That's crazy.
Because
Did he send Michelle?
He sent Michelle. You're absolutely right. And they went over there to push LGBT. And they were like, no, we good. We don't want that. And my buddy sent me a message I'll never forget. He's like, now you see what I'm saying? And I was like, damn. And then Biden immediately gets in office. What does he do?
You see the common denominator here? We're pushing that agenda? Yeah. Who they're sending?
Yeah. Yeah. Women.
And how Kamala became African-American all of a sudden when she's Indian.
She is Indian. She showed.
No, that's what she identified as, Indian.
Yeah, she definitely.
She identified as she was born as, but she's she's
well, partially born as.
Right.
Yeah. But she was.
It was like Tiger Woods. He kicked black people out of the car too. Until he got hit with that golf club. That golf club changed his life back.
Conveniently black when she needed to be, right?
Kamala never claimed black.
Yeah.
For years.
Even the Tiger.
Right.
Until he got hit with the golf club.
You know, I don't like. You know, my Tiger Woods. I got beef with Tiger Woods right now. Okay.
Yeah.
But no, I don't like Tiger Woods. But it's funny because, like you say, from the outside perspective, if you've talked to people who've come from other countries who've spent real time there, not as a tourist, who lived there, they will tell you who they like and who they don't like. And it's really interesting. What they see is totally different from what we see, you know. And again, it goes back to this lady having to divorce her husband so that he could get cared for. That couldn't happen anywhere else, you know.
I've never heard of that happening.
Right. And again, but we're opening the gates. We got people coming in. Mm-hmm. And then the perception of us in other places.
It's not what people think. Man.
Like right now, I'm not leaving the country right now. I was just having a conversation the other day. I'm not leaving the country right now. Because
no way.
Oh, no. What about you?
Not with your body.
Okay, right. But me and Jay have... Me and Jay have concluded we really don't leave Seminole County that much.
Nah.
Yeah,
Right now I'm in violation of my...
I would like to take the chance.
Where you want to go?
To get out of what's going to happen here.
Where you want to go?
Somewhere far. Norway or something like that.
Norway's a good time.
Yeah. You been?
Okay, I don't know if it's a good time if I ain't been.
Okay. But how many...
I read about it.
How many black people did you see in Norway?
Just us. Everybody that came with me. No, I'm lying. I'm lying. There's a decent South African population in Norway.
But see, that's amazing because there are Africans everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are Africans everywhere. I just did a story recently about an African guy who wanted to go to the Chinese store in Nigeria. The Chinese have a store in Nigeria, and they wouldn't let him in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's their store. But there are Africans everywhere. Russia.
No, the Africa. I mean,
you see how they treated them in the Ukraine.
You know, it actually is the biggest continent on the planet, right? No matter how they try to Photoshop the size of it, right? You know, it actually is.
But if you look at the Ukraine had a gigantic contingent of Africans.
Absolutely.
But see how they treated them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, when the mess hit the fan, they were like.
Absolutely.
But you know, it's interesting you're talking about Africa. Hey, listen, give us a call, 321-339-1055. We sit and talk some days here on the show. Drop us an open mic of any conversation you probably heard us have. Last night we talked about Africa.
We're not doing that again.
How embarrassing were you? How embarrassed were you? Were you a little embarrassed? Ash, were you a little embarrassed? How do you get there? Holly, listen to me, man. It's just,
I want to hear what the story was.
No, we can't go in depth of the story. We're not going to do that. Just
so y'all just going to tease?
No. Don is the one that did this. He shouldn't have done this.
No, when we talk, we have certain conversations. We have great. We love to have real grown ass men conversation. I don't want
real rap.
I don't want to rap. And the word rap. Somebody asked me, would I say Jay Kane, real rap Kane? Is he a rapper? No. Rap means to
have politic. Conversation.
Converse, right? First of all, I just want everybody to know, conversate ain't a word. Okay, converse, okay? And it's oftentimes, Ollie, you caught that? You hear him over here? A conversate is not a word. But anyway, and we're having a conversation with a gentleman, and it's all right to not know. Is it okay to tell people sometimes it's all right to not know?
I think that's the biggest gap we have as a society with communication.
Yeah. I think it's a beautiful thing, though, to be able to tell people that.
And it doesn't make you.
But it's the whole thing, can they receive it?
Yeah, it doesn't make you less than, though. I think far too often people think it makes you less than, and it doesn't.
But it's all right.
But it actually shows your intelligence by saying, I don't know, and be willing to be educated
about
something. And that kind of was the basis of the conversation last night. Clearly, you were misinformed, you was miseducated on a topic, right? being honest,
but it's all right again to not know.
But so I wasn't even part of this conversation, Holly. I'm going to tell you what, I wasn't even part of this conversation. I was minding my business, my shoulder. I was on my Soul Wednesday vibe.
He was playing the music. Right? He was playing Freddie Jackson.
I had a nice little stogie. Like I was in the zone, right?
You were.
Then Don called, hey Jay, listen to this. So I turn, I listen. And I'm like, Aaron, that wrong. Okay, that ain't right either. But it was just the basic education of how someone was introduced into African society, and the timelines were wrong, and the timelines weren't wrong. How the way he tried to articulate saying we got the information was incorrect.
But the point, let me just say, you ever had that friend? Because I had one who. You really like them as a person. And I'll give you an example. I had this friend, and we used to go hang out at places and meet young ladies back in the day. And he used to lie.
For what?
For no reason. And he'd tell it.
That's a dangerous person. A person that lies for nothing.
Let me watch this. You gotta listen to this. So we in the bar one day. We in the bar, and he meets these girls. I'll never forget this. And
Rachel to the stage.
No, not that kind of bar. Okay. We're in a bar, and meet these girls, and one girl says she went to Johns Hopkins. The other girl went to University of Chicago, and one girl went to Princeton.
Well, you say he went to Cal.
This dude, man. Wow. This dude said, yeah. I go to Brownlee. I went to Brownlee.
Brownlee. What's that?
He was trying to say he went to Brown.
No, I know what he was trying to say.
And I'm like kicking him like.
He went to his cousin.
I'm like, dude, it's called Brown, man. And you couldn't Google it then, right?
It's
you
in were, Japan.
I'm like, he was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. She's like, you went to what? He's like, Brown. He's like, oh, you went to Brown?
She's that like, was yeah. a Votech school. That way, tell you that was a vote text.
And I'm looking at him like, dude, what are you
he
talking
there for
about?
Body.
I'm looking like you get ready to mess up, you know. And she was like, oh, I had a cousin who went to Brown, and we, I was like, oh, this is going to end horribly, right?
It worked for him,
and he and she was
it worked
she
was, for him.
So he kind of all he did was lay the groundwork
because she then, missed the lead part. If she would have heard the lead part, it was different.
I went to Brownlee. I'm like, what the hell is Brownlee? Okay, and I'm like, it's Brown, dog. It's Brown,
brown. Leaf. But listen, you talking about a swish or sweet?
I don't want to talk about school. How you doing?
Right, yeah. This is what he said. This is exactly what he said. I'm just being honest with you. I put that Ivy League behind me when I finish.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay. And she started giving him a play, right?
He put that poison Ivy behind him when he
so this dude was probably, he was smooth, but he was the dumbest of my friends. Like, dumb. Like, so.
It ain't going to work for anybody.
He would say
he
something like this.
You'd be like, yo.
You'd be like, yo, man. You'd be like, yo, man, Holly, when I say this, you're going to know who I'm talking about. You'd be like, yo, man, you man, that's a nice ass. You look good today, homie. He'd be like, yeah, man, the feeling is neutral. No,
neutral.
If it's neutral, it ain't no feeling. Yeah. The feeling is mutual.
Yeah, everybody got a friend like that.
Wow.
You got a friend be using words.
Yeah.
Hey, man, feeling is neutral, homie.
Now I know who it is.
You know who I'm talking about, Holly?
Gosh.
So I'm like, no, dog, it's mutual. So then he'd be like, man, tell me, he said, the girls, we were sitting there, the girls, when they went to the ladies' room, he's like, dude, where's Brown? I said, it's in Providence, Rhode Island. He said, what Rhode Island? I said, it's on the East Coast.
The Northeast.
He said, okay.
Oh, my
God. I'm looking at him like, you get ready to ride this one out? Just tell him you went to.
You're already in the car.
Just tell him you went to for one semester, okay? Oh. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just make up
but
something.
But did he close the deal? That's the question.
Wait, let me tell you the rest of the story. The rest of the story. This is why. So she gave him another date.
Mm-hmm.
She goes out with him again.
Mm-hmm.
He told her when he was there. And she was like, okay.
What are your school colors?
He wore brown.
And work in prison.
This dude, man, I hope he listening, man. Damn, I hope he listening, guys. This is crazy, man. This dude right here, oh, my goodness. Hold on. Let me make sure he's listening. This dude, man. So they go out,
mm-hmm.
meet again. He told her when he was there.
Mm-hmm.
She wants, okay, let's have dinner. She brings
there's somebody that was there.
Two girls that was there. This dude was so smooth.
Y'all please get Don Miller.
This dude was so smooth. He made it out the second date, but one of the girls kind of had an inkling he was lying, right?
Brownlee.
Finally, the girl that I had met, right? She said, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? My friend really likes your buddy. And I was like, yeah, he good dude. She was like, yeah, but he didn't go to Brown.
He's Brown, but he didn't go to Brown.
He went to Brown.
I ain't asking what box he checked.
She said, he didn't go to Brown. And you need
it's
to tell
Brown
me.
With an E at the end.
I say, I didn't tell you he went to Brown. She said, you didn't say he was lying either. So you need to come clean with me.
Anybody have to call somebody a liar?
I was like, what does it got to do with me? She said, you want to see me again, you need to be straight.
And you want to made Brown. It sure.
He didn't go to Brown.
Listen,
a brother will sell you out for a piece quicker than anything else.
Does she, but like, does she like him? Does she like the way he is? All right, so he ain't go to Brown, and that's not her hair. They're even.
Let's go to break. Wow. But I got to tell the rest of the story when we come back.
Tell
because,
the rest of this weird story.
They got married, and I'll tell you what happened. You're listening to The Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Back to The Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
It's that Bo Diddley right here. Can I tell y'all something? You can't feel the blues. You got a hole in your soul.
And if I never get down.
Diddley, guys. Bo Diddley passed away some years ago at his home in Archer, Florida, up by Gainesville. Did you know that, Stedman?
Man, you don't know Bo Diddley.
No, I didn't know.
Bo Diddley lived for many years up until his death in Archer, Florida. Archer's off 75. He's originally from Macomb, Mississippi. One of the great entertainers of our time, fluctuated in terms of his wealth up and down, but near the end of his career, bought a giant parcel of land up in beautiful Archer, Florida, and that's where he passed away, the legendary Bo Diddley. Let's check out some open mics. I just have a plethora of ridiculous information.
I told you that.
Living as a caregiver for my husband with traumatic brain injury, we had to liquidate every single asset we had, first and foremost, and the government still gave us no assistance with being able to keep afloat or provide alternative therapies for my husband. They treat brain injury survivors as if they have a broken finger and not a damaged brain.
Wow.
When you mix a habitual liar in with somebody that has dementia, then that's exactly what the results are. The agenda he's being fed, he can't remember that crap half the time, so he forgets that. So he just comes up with a number and throws it out there and hopes everybody's stupid enough to believe it, which the reporters, as far as they go, they're just plain-ass lazy. They're the sorriest, laziest reporting in our news history at this point. It's just they're worthless.
Puppets.
Good afternoon, Listen, Laugh, and Learn crew. I'm sorry I've missed a little bits and pieces of the show today, but I was just wondering if y'all covered where the FBI got caught falsifying all those pictures and stuff from Mar-a-Lago with the top secret envelopes and the pictures and all that stuff. And I was wondering if Holly has apologized yet.
Wow.
What did Holly say? It wasn't true?
Everybody. Just want to say, Don, thank you for the clarification. I now know what a bull dagger is. You told a story, a personal story, a week or two ago about it, and I thought I knew what you're talking about, but I am crystal clear now. I appreciate learning more of the Don lingo, and I'm crystal clear on bull daggers. Take care, beat a bit.
He ran into one.
Don Miller. It wasn't Barack Obama and Michelle. It was Barack Obama and Michael. That's why they're not allowed back to Africa.
My office is in Sanford, and I go to the Lake Mary Market Walmart when I need whatever, lunch or drinks. I have three addictions: whiskey, one word I can't say, and Dr. Pepper Zero Cherry, best soda of all time. It's gone for $3.99, $4.99, $5.99. I was just here 2 weeks ago. I just walked in here today, buy myself another 12-pack. It was $7.29. I have now bought a 12-pack of Zero Sugar Sam's Club Cola. God help me.
I think that's what we got to do quickly. We got to shift toward buying the store product because we got to boycott some of these. It's crazy.
Well, I'd be killing Sam's Club. Remember Mark?
The numbers are jumping in a frightening way. You could go to the store 2 weeks ago, and there's a $2. It's up $2 right now. And that's gouging. That's 100% gouging. This ain't about.
Isn't it supposed to be regulated?
Yeah, but let me just.
I'm laughing.
Now, if you say a 30% hit, yeah, because you got to factor in gas prices going up. The packaging is petroleum based most of the time, so I get that. Mm. But to go up $3 in 3 weeks, y'all can kiss my ass. I'm telling you right now, for real.
And the thing I find myself now at the grocery store, well, I just go to certain ones now because I know. But if I find myself like somewhere where I have to go to a grocery store. Right. Why am I reading the ingredients on the meat? Just to make sure it's real meat these days.
You better read it.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, it ain't going to be.
Yeah. That's why I got to go to places like more organic meats.
That's why you
got to
go more organic meat, Country Club Road, Lake Mary, Florida. Jonathan Taylor's big ass, I sent you, and you're going to get 20% off of whatever you purchase today. More organic meat, Country Club Road, Jonathan. Yeah. He's a nice fella. He's gigantic.
Get 20% off?
Yeah, 20% off right now. Man, that's what's amazing. Happening. Go now. Go now. More Organic Meats, y'all Country Club Road, Lake Mary, Florida. 20% off. He's got some brisket over there. He's going to have some pork chops. He's cutting the pig as we speak. he's got good cuts, okay? Jonathan. Now, when I come over there, I want my stuff to be ready and free. Thank you so much.
I got to take myself over there finally.
I can't wait to get over there.
Again,
he got good work over there.
Yeah, he got good. There he we got go, great Jay. Work over there. Great work. I knew you was going to come up with something.
Yeah, you can't say that.
You can say no Diddy.
No. There's only but so many Diddies you're going to get. Before you are Diddy.
Right. Hey, so I want to finish the story of my friend who told the young lady we met. It was three young ladies, Howard Brown, and when the other one went to Princeton. No, Johns Hopkins. Well, she got her master's. Anyway, so my buddy lies and says he went to Brownlee. Then I kicked him and said, no, it's Brown. Then I tell him where it's located. She goes on a date. Then she brings three of her friends who went to Brown. They don't even realize he didn't go to Brownlee Brown. And
Brownlee.
They date for about a year,
mm-hmm.
at least.
And what happened?
He asked her to marry him.
And what happened?
And she married him. She's got her master's degree and her PhD, and was a researcher.
Oh, wow.
She's still a researcher. They got married.
Did she research him?
No.
Okay. But she don't. She not that good at a job.
Wait. Let me tell you what happened. So they get married, and she stopped asking you questions? He said, man, when I put it down like I put it down, she just didn't ask. She never asked no more. He's like,
toes and ears.
He said, I was putting it down, man. She just didn't even care no more. And I was thinking, damn, and this is a fact. This is why the homosexual community is rising. Because all they need them to do is put it down. They don't care. Yeah. You need somewhere to stay? Put it down. You need something to eat? Put it down, right? So this dude told me once he had sex with her.
It was over.
That she never asked any questions about Brown ever again.
Brownlee.
I'm like, that's all it took, right? And then they get married, and within 2 years, they get a divorce.
That sounds about right.
He cheated on her. He worked at the Pepsi-Cola plant, and he cheated on her with a rat. He meet this girl at the park, at Lake Lorna Dune Park. That's located. Stedman, you know where that is located? That is at Tampa.
Right across the street from the Stitches Bowl.
That is at Tampa Avenue and over there, okay, in Rio Grande, right?
That's the hood for the people that don't know, live in Orlando.
So he used to play basketball. He was a built guy, used to hoop, okay? And he was playing basketball at the park and met this little girl and cheats on her. She's already got two kids, two baby daddies. She's fine. She's real fine. And he lost his wife. And
I don't even blame him. He lied from the beginning, so how you can get mad at him?
But I tried to keep the girl I was with. I said, no, he ain't go to Brown. I wasn't going to, you know.
But Don went all around the block, and I don't know how he got here.
She still didn't tell her. You know what?
Don went all around the block and went away from the story.
Think about this real quick. When I told her friend that, no, he didn't go to Brown,
mm-hmm.
I don't even think she told her friend.
She's probably embarrassed at that point.
Okay. She didn't tell her.
Yeah, I can see
because
that.
Because
if she would have told her friend, they'd be like, girl, don't mess with him. He's a liar. Like, he lied about what school he went to. Come on, bro.
Not where he worked.
Not where he worked. Not how many kids he
not
got.
Not what kind of car he got.
Right. College. That got to be the most pettiest lie I ever heard.
Nowadays, that's the downfall. If you ask somebody, like, you know, the higher than the university and stuff, like, where you went? I went to Harvard. Or I went to this, that. Okay, so you got that. You got that debt.
And then you say you went to Harvard, then they ask you, point to the solid fork, and you don't know what that look like.
Right.
You point to the dinner fork.
They're trying to look somebody to help with the school debt. No, I'm good.
But you know,
etiquette they ain't going to know.
This guy never changed the way he spoke. He didn't sound pretty articulate at all. I think this woman
was keeping it real, man.
I think this woman, I really believe women, if you bring it like that's why you see these girls, these successful women with these bums. What you think?
Yeah.
She knew. There's no way she didn't know he didn't go to Brown. There's no way.
Yeah.
And he said once he put it down, she didn't even ask no more.
She found out what Brown could do for her.
Nah. What can Brown do for you?
Brown versus the board.
Separate but equal. You're 100% right. But it's just amazing because I think she just wanted, once the sex was good,
it's a wrap.
Yeah.
She says, say less.
Yep. And it's amazing how many people around her kind of was okay with the charade because they went places and they went around these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, baby. I'm at UPS. That's what could Brown do for you? That's the one I went to.
But it's crazy. And so, it is what it is.
Totally got away from the original point.
What was the point?
The point is, I don't know how Don went on this tangent story about his cheating friend, lying friend.
Okay, well,
the original premise of this segment of the conversation was that, never feel inferior by saying you don't know some information.
Okay. How do you not see this? How do you not
that's see? That's not, no. That's not, God, no. That,
yeah, so yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not identifying a liar having the humility to stand down is two different things.
He wanted to.
No.
He wanted her to think that he was on her level.
That is two separate things, Don. He was lying to get some trim. We all lied at some point in time to get some trim.
We ain't telling
no college lie.
Yeah.
I might have said I was a good person knowing I'm not.
But. Getting back to the point, we were engaged in the conversation. It is amazing how people will try to project that they
intelligence
and they.
Intelligence in a certain box. We're all intelligent in our different ways.
Right.
I don't want to.
Okay, but again, I think as a friend, I'm putting this right on you, squarely on you. Hey, listen, coming up 2 p.m. Eastern time, the Florida Man Radio Network. Coming up at 2 p.m. Eastern time is the Shannon Burke Show. Shannon is followed by Jesse Kelly. And in the morning, of course, a Bubba the Love Sponge. So we got a lot going on here at Florida Man Radio. Next week, we got a big, big, big announcement. You will be able to, every day, someone local can win $250 on Florida Man Radio. Brought to you by Anjar and Levine Law Firm, Attorneys at Law. So just be ready. You got to listen. You're going to get a time to listen for the cash grab keyword. That's generally going to be in the morning time. Cash grab keyword on the Bubba the Love Sponge show at 8:20. The Anderjar and Levine Accident Attorneys Cash Grab. I can't repeat this enough. Each weekday morning at 8:20 on Bubba the Love Sponge.
Check out Bubba.
You got to listen to Bubba to know what's going on.
It's going to be a local winner.
It's going to be a local winner. Ain't going to be somebody in Paducah, Kentucky, or one of those places. This person going to get $250 right here, only in the Central Florida market.
Money.
Only in the Central Florida market.
Get you a half tank of gas.
That's a half tank, right. So I want to get back to this. We're talking about a young man that Jay was having a conversation.
You was having a conversation. You pulled me into the conversation.
That clearly had no idea. But he's a very close friend of Jay's. And I just want to say this to Jay as a friend, man. I think as a friend, you are responsible for uplifting others, especially those who you call brother and you keep near and dear to your heart. And if a brother is walking in the darkness, I think it is important that another brother reach back. Listen, I mean this, Jay. I love you, man. Each one teach one so we can reach
one. I'm Todd, bro. I teach you. I uplift you every day.
Each one teach one so we can
I'm
reach
Todd.
One.
I'm Todd.
You.
My bicep, triceps, I uplift you every day.
I'm just telling you.
And bring you to the light as a mug.
I'm just telling you, man. You missed a moment right there.
Nah, listen, man.
You missed a moment.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
That was some nonsense. Listen.
He missed a moment to turn the corner for someone.
No, what did I attempt to do? We always out there. Mm-hmm. I articulated clearly that correction isn't punishment.
Correction isn't punishment.
Right. And sometimes we got to listen. We may think we're versed on a certain topic, but when people come along that are a little bit more versed, take that as actually as a good sign. Because now it already enhances the baseline of what you know.
And just like my grandma used to say, a heap see, but a few know. Mm-hmm. You got to know what a heap is first, right? A heap is a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of something. Mm-hmm. A heap see, but a few know.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we going to have as a takeaway today on the show, man.
A heap, man.
Keep paying attention, man. Don't be bamboozled. So I want to tell Jay, just because I told you that, just you had a moment. You had a moment. You could have changed somebody.